The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
Speak to me, warrior! As I thought about what I was going to say this evening, it's been hard for me to find the words. That's...
Oh, this is going to be great.
Well, then, you shut up, warrior, and let me do the talking. No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something than larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized by the storytellers, by the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the running the man did live forever. You are the legend makers of Ultimate Warrior. In the back, I see many potential legends, some of them with warrior spirits. And you will do the same for them. You will decide if they lived with a passion and intensity. So much so that you will tell your stories and you will make them legends as well. I am Ultimate Warrior. You are the Ultimate Warrior fans. And the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever.
The Ultimate Warrior, the newest member of the Hall of Fame.
Ladies and gentlemen, after what could have been one of the greatest weekends of wrestling history,
seriously,
we have to give a rest in peace to the Ultimate Warrior. What a surprise.
Unfortunate.
What another sad way to start off an exciting, what should have been an exciting episode, and probably will be.
I can't concentrate. Lowlife Louie just keeps interrupting us.
Well, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we have Lowlife Louie Ramos. Ramos or Ramos? Which is it?
How do you say your last name? Ramos?
Zachos.
Louis Zachos is here.
No, it's Ramos, right?
No! Would you people shut up?
Wow, Louis is very hostile.
Well, he is hardcore.
So,
he is.
Louis, I need to ask you a question. You referred to me as a tool before. Why am I a tool?
Because you're an idiot. That's why.
Man, lowlife Louie's shooting
hard. She's shooting right from the head.
You've been here for 10 minutes and you texted daddy and you're sad you're going to be too late, but you're just a tool. You've been here for 10 minutes.
Lowlife Louie just called you his daddy, Tony.
Now, Louie, you've been in this business for a long time. You're destroying kayfabe right now by referring to Tony as your daddy.
That's a good promo. Man.
I'm gonna fart in your face.
Wait, watch.
Oh,
watch.
Louis,
guys,
I'm making up a program tonight.
Wait, Louis can sing too. Watch this. Hey, baby.
Let me see your honey.
You and Louis, man, you guys have like a bond,
a good rapport,
dude. It downtown all the time with my man Lowlife.
Oh my God, Lowlife Louis. So, how was school?
Good.
Why did Christy Whitman kick hardcore wrestling out of the state of New Jersey?
Hey. Because he kissed his heart.
Oh. Hey, let me ask you a question. Why did you get in trouble at school yesterday, Louie?
Would you shut up?
No, people want to know.
This is the news.
No. Were you throwing rocks at other kids on the playground yesterday?
Shut up! You're not really the news!
Louie.
Louie, hardcore to the max.
Louie, where did you train?
Where I'll send you to prison, you dope.
Louie. You're out of control right now.
I know that. Would you cop?
You have a huge booger.
Ew. Oh, somebody's at the door. I will go get that.
Maybe it's the real lowlife Louie. We'll be back, folks.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, take two. We're just going to keep rolling. Welcome to the Shiny Wizard Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about Louie Ramos.
I am Tony, and my favorite moment of WrestleMania was Cesaro dumping the Big Show over the top.
My favorite moment of WrestleMania was the look on Matt's face when The Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar.
Matt, my favorite moment of WrestleMania was, oh boy, what? Oh, I know what my favorite moment was.
The sloppy bitch twat match?
No. Way to curse in front of your kid.
I know, I forgot.
You lecture us before we start the show, and then you're saying twat in front of them. Good job, dad of the year. My favorite moment of WrestleMania was the Daniel Bryan beating the Triple H to open the show in a phenomenal match.
I'm Kevin, and my favorite moment was the Cesaro thing, but since we already did that, I'll say the beginning, the opening with Rock, Hogan, and Stone Cold Steve Austin all in the ring at the same time, first time ever. Can't beat that.
I have to agree with Kevin, but my favorite personally was the streak ending.
Streak ending.
Yes. You're a fan of the streak ending.
Yes, I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Lowlife Louie Ramos.
The real.
Ramos, do you prefer Ramos or Ramos, or what do you prefer?
Ramos, it doesn't matter.
But I don't want to call you the wrong thing. You know?
The real Ramos.
Ramos, the real Ramos. Louie Ramos on the fifth mic with us tonight. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. A little sore. I wrestled on Saturday night for UWA Elite in South River, New Jersey. I took a bad bump. I actually dislocated my hip. I banged up some ribs, which I had cracked 2 years ago. So not doing so good. Plus, I just got out of work. Worked 10 hours in the city and came right here.
That's all right, man. You're amongst friends. It's all good. It's all good.
Comfy couch. Got some booze. We're all right. We're doing good.
I'm doing good.
So the thing, I guess, that we should discuss is where to begin. There's been a whole ton of news the past week, six days.
I think it's pretty obvious where we should kick the show off.
Tony has a box from Kathy Hummer.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, that's perfect. Let's start with that.
We'll keep it light for now.
I think Gwyneth Paltrow's head is in that box. Right.
Something's in there.
And my kid's using it as a footrest.
While Tony sets up Louis, I don't know if you're familiar with the PWS Sign Girls.
Yes, I am.
Okay. They're a little squirrely. They're not afraid to admit it.
Hey, stop.
What?
They were nice enough to send us, and particularly me, a gift.
Okay, first of all, you don't know what's in that box.
What's in the box?
So this could you could have the outbreak. Oh, Jesus.
Who wants to get their butt wedgie?
Thanks.
That was actually pretty good.
Well, at least we know podcast cancer runs in the family.
I was just going to say, it doesn't fall far from the tree, right?
That could be the outbreak AIDS monkey in that box. You don't know. You opened it already, didn't it?
All right, I'm opening the box. First of all, it's got handles, but it only weighs about a pound, as you can feel.
That's like,
I don't know why it needed handles.
I'm going to go out on a limb and guess what's in that.
Can you see the shipping on that? Almost $6 to ship a very light package.
And they live, like, in the same state. So
would you rather them drop it off?
Good point, sir. Good point. Okay, so I'm opening the box. And
what's inside?
There's, all right, I'll tell you.
That's a good question.
There's two posters. Well, and
no, they're signs, right? They're not the PWS signs. Poster girls or the PWS sign girls.
Poster girls for what?
Look at Kev sticking up for his ladies.
There's a letter. Guys, please make sure Jay Lethal gets his sign. It is for him to keep. Oh.
Wait. So wait, she gave Jay Lethal. Where's our presents?
Where's Louis's sign?
Yeah, where's Louis's gift? Where's his sign?
He's our guest of honor.
And he's got something for Jay Lethal?
Dude, you're going to get
glitter everywhere again.
All over the
Black
floor.
Black Machismo Jay Lethal. Real original, Kathy. I thought you guys were the sign girls.
I think we should alter what that sign says.
Dude, Jay Lethal. You're an awesome wrestler.
Put a G in front of Jay.
That took me a second.
And here, and keep your sign to hang it in the studio. Have fun at the memorial show. I will not be there. Nobody gives a shit. Four guys, one podcast. Matt, Tony, Eddie, Kevin. We love the Wizards.
All right. Happy birthday.
Well, good.
Happy birthday.
That's pretty cool.
My cat needs something to poop on, so.
No, it'll serve a purpose.
Let's see if we all have right. something.
And this is a birthday card for me.
Oh, there's probably something nice in it, and I'm going to feel bad.
I got myself a super crossword.
Scratch off. That's a winner.
Try to remember one thing. Anything you can do, geez, you are old. Happy. We love you, and have a good day. That is very sweet. Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Kathy. Give me one second. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute.
Yeah, go beat your kid.
No.
Jesus.
All right. We would have had a kid wrestling match. I would have brought my son. He's 9 years old, and loves his wrestling, man. He stayed all the way up to the end of WrestleMania.
That's awesome.
Of course,
awesome.
No punishment. He was tired at school the next day. But
all right,
do you remember those days growing up doing the same thing?
You know, I'll tell you what. When I was growing up, I come from a broken home. My mom did her best to raise me and my brother. My brother's no longer with us. God rest his soul.
Oh, damn.
Man.
R.I.P.
Yeah, thank you. And so we didn't have pay-per-view till me and my brother started working full-time jobs like in 94, 95. So All those great, great moments, one of our buddies from school would get us a DVD he recorded, or we'd have to wait a day or two. Or if my aunt was willing to have us over and she'd order the pay-per-view, like WrestleMania 3, she actually ordered it for us because it was so
pay-per-view.
Big. So
that's awesome.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think of Jay Lethal?
I love Jay Lethal. I remember Jay Lethal going to the JP school when I used to sit there and drink beer and eat Quick Check sandwiches because I'm an idiot and never got in shape like I should have.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think this poster should be given to Jay Lethal on Sunday?
I would. I love the Sign Girls. They're mad cool, big fans.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not a messenger service.
Oh
my God.
There goes the poster.
That's the poster. Oh,
sorry, girl.
That is old school heel heat right
you
there.
You are a dick.
Love you, miss you.
You are a dick. That
wow,
is
what
fantastic.
A jerk. The views and opinions Ooh. Of Tony do not reflect the views and opinions of the Shining Wizards.
Wow.
My God, laughing like a sinister bastard.
Somebody's got to be the heel on this show. Lord knows we need it. We've been too nice for too long.
We have been too nice.
Good Lord.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I guess we might as well get the depression out of the way. The Ultimate Warrior was inducted into the Hall of Fame on Saturday and made his appearance on Sunday at WrestleMania. Had a, I guess in hindsight, a chilling promo that he cut on Raw Monday. And next thing you know, we hear reports out of Arizona Tuesday afternoon that he started clutching his chest while he was at the hotel with his wife in Arizona and pronounced dead at the hospital.
It's crazy.
Unbelievable. 54 years old.
Yeah, that's young. Matt, we were watching WrestleMania, and I remember Matt saying as soon as Warrior came out on stage during the Hall of Fame introductions for everybody, Matt's like, what's wrong with him? He doesn't look good.
When have you ever seen somebody at the Hall of Fame come out with a towel and a bottle of water?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
He looked very sweaty and very like he always blew up, but he didn't run to the ring on Monday.
No, he was doing this weird thing holding his chest, you know?
And you know, it's cynical. It's so sad that my first instinct when, based on what he said in his speech, it kind of sounded like he was closing the door. And my first thought was, uh-oh. He took his own life.
You know, that heavy sweating is a sign of high blood pressure. And a guy like that who was high strung his whole career, I'm not anybody to say what he took and didn't take, but if he was into recreational substances for a period of time, plus, you know, the style he did, could have taken a toll on his heart. And yeah, being away from it for so long and then being pushed like he was into it, maybe his heart just couldn't take it.
I think that's what it was.
I agree with that 100%.
TMZ was reporting that apparently that there was no indication that alcohol or drugs had any.
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't think so either, especially which way he preached against that kind of stuff for a lot of the latter period of his tenure.
Yeah, but it's a lot. Like even the older guys that gave it up,
that's
still
like
wound up
Eddie Guerrero,
exactly.
Hawk. Those guys.
It's a shame that it caught up to him. Like the timing is eerie
when it did,
you get that feeling like he knew, like he signed a multi-year contract with the WWE. Like, did he do it because he knew, because he wanted to take care of his family? Like Eddie said, when he came out on the stage and he's waving to people, like his hand is shaking.
Like. Yeah, and it's like his fingers aren't like, it's kind of like they're not like, he's not, it's not a real wave. They're like clutching. It's weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. Just like that.
Yeah.
He was on Raw Monday night and now he's gone. It really puts things into perspective.
Of course, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, just don't take life for granted. It could be gone any minute now.
Just the timing is just so, and that's why I didn't believe it. I'm like, all right, this has to be some sort of cyber hoax. Some nerdy wrestling fans got into Twitter and hacked Triple H, hacked WWE.com. I really believe that it was like a massive thing, because I just didn't want to believe it. And the timing was just so peculiar of it. And it's just a terrible loss, especially now that we had so much to look forward to from him back with the company, projects, documentary stuff, and just his take on a lot of things. And now we're not gonna have that. And that's just very unfortunate and sad.
The good thing is he made peace with everybody before he went, and he went with a clear conscience, and I guess everybody in turn accepted whatever it was, the clearing of whether there was beef, whether he was hard to deal with, so on and so forth, that had been put under the bridge. And it's a good way to, I mean, it's never anyway good way to go out, but if you're going to go out, at least you tied up all your ends.
But at the end of the day, he still has a wife and two little girls.
Yeah.
So
that sucks.
Like, beyond the scope of wrestling, it's just a terrible, terrible situation. And the way that, and you could tell that he meant every word he said in that Hall of Fame speech. There's one thing about the Ultimate Warrior that anyone can say, no matter what, like Louis just said about how hard he was to deal with. He means everything, and he stands up for everything that he says, and he doesn't pull punches, he doesn't lie to your face, he doesn't BS you. He shoots straight to you. So I agree with that, and it's just it is what it is.
Has anyone talked to Dave?
I just sent him, I guess, a condolence this morning.
Because I know he did that workout thing with him last year.
That's right.
Last year.
He thinks the world of the Warrior.
And I know that they corresponded regularly.
Mm-hmm. I completely forgot about that.
You know, just a normal dude. And I hope, you know, I hope Dave's holding up okay, too. I mean, maybe he wasn't best friends with the guy, but, I mean, they built some kind of relationship. So it's just weird.
Yeah.
And an ugly situation.
And a lot of the wrestlers were given their condolences, and one in particular was Kevin Matthews, who said it should have been one Warrior Nation that died. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of people speaking out against One Warrior Nation.
Yeah,
I mean,
I want to actually ask
Louis
about that, since are you familiar with One Warrior Nation?
Yes, I am.
Have you ever worked a show with him in the past?
One time he worked for NWS, and we were in the same locker room, but the guy was very weird, kept to himself, and you know, I shook hands with him, introduced myself, and I said goodbye at the end of the night. That was pretty much it.
Pretty much it. Now, do you think he should definitely discontinue that gimmick now that this happened?
That gimmick shouldn't be happening. Listen, when everybody starts, they're a fan.
Yeah.
Conan did a shoot interview a long time ago. He said the biggest marks are in the locker room. And you know what? I live by that, because, hey, I'm a mark. If, whether you want to insult me with using the word, or say it derogatorily, or say it in a cool way, the only reason I'm in this business is because I love it.
Right.
And the reason why I continue to do this is because I love it. So everybody's going to try to emulate their favorite guy. I've hulked up in some of my matches in the past. I've seen guys do the Warrior rope thing and everything. There's it's one thing to take from your favorite wrestler and do the cup to the ear when you listening for the cheers or right. the old Psycho Sid knee and, you know, ask to bask in the crowd. But it's another thing to rip off a gimmick totally. And what this fool is doing is just ripping off and one of the all-time gimmicks in the business.
Yeah.
And he should have never been allowed to do it. But now that the real Warrior has tragically passed, along with the Renegade who passed a long time ago, who also did that tomfoolery, right. this fool shouldn't be allowed to do this anymore.
I agree, and I got a lot of respect for a guy like Robert Banner, who had him actually booked in a match coming up for his organization, and he pulled him off it. He canceled the match.
Smart move. It's a very smart move.
Yeah,
very
definitely smart move.
Do you want to maybe do our favorite Ultimate Warrior moment to kind of end this on a high note and move on towards some WrestleMania talk and some Raw
let's
talk?
Let's do that.
Kevin, you start, man.
I'll start. It was because I guess my favorite Ultimate Warrior moment was the surprise return at WrestleMania 8. During the Hulk Hogan, Papa Shango, because it was you were still young enough as a kid that you didn't know there was no dirt sheets, there was no internet then.
Yeah,
you didn't know what was gonna happen. All of a sudden, you hear that music and you're just like, "What the heck is gonna happen right now?" And then to see Ultimate Warrior run down to the ring. I mean, the whole finish was kind of botched, but still, that's not the point. Ultimate Warrior was back, and it was great to see. And that's my favorite Ultimate Warrior moment. Who's gonna go next?
I can go if you want.
Yeah,
go nuts.
My favorite moment was probably the promo he cut on the Super Ninja on Saturday night's main event, where he's going,
"Thanksgiving is a time of peace, but not when my championship belt is on the line."
And he said that he was going to make their Thanksgiving very sorrowful or something.
Something like that.
It was awesome.
It was vintage
Warrior, and his promo made sense despite what you might see on the trash DVD that they put out a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I love that one.
I got to say, my favorite moment was... besides, was that mic crackling there?
What, good? My mic?
No, you should put your headphones on. Oh. Probably a Warrior beating Hogan, WrestleMania 6.
I'm going to throw something at you right now.
Yeah. You don't like that moment. Oh, you're a Hogan fan.
Oh, no.
Lifelong, die hard.
See, I just... Growing up, I just loved the Warrior. He was just so colorful and so different. And that was something I never thought I'd see.
Hogan getting pinned.
Yeah.
Babyface versus babyface, champion versus champion.
Hold on to that thought for now.
Okay.
Hold on to that thought for now. But finish up on talking about your favorite moment.
Yeah, so that's just it. That was my favorite Warrior moment.
Speaks for itself, really, that moment.
Do you have a favorite Warrior moment?
Yeah, Warrior Savage, WrestleMania 7.
Yes.
Good one. What a classic match.
Amazing.
For those who say the Ultimate Warrior couldn't work, watch that match. That match was phenomenal.
Yes.
He went about 35 minutes with Savage, and it was just unreal, where they kicked out of all the finishes, and he was talking to his hands, and then he finally goes back in and finishes. That was actually, I think, the first time he walked to the ring.
Because they played it up that it was serious, dude. And the story behind that was great. Savage cost him the title because he wouldn't give him a shot.
Yeah.
That was a nice little story arc over 4 months, wrapped up with Elizabeth coming back.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah, that was cool.
That's a good one, man. That's a good one. Matthew?
Matt?
Tell me it's the Warrior.
Tell me it's Hercules when
vomiting.
They broke the
chain. Jake the Snake. Papa
no, I was going to say the Ultimate Warrior working for PSENG and lying to me. But that was just a dude who was big who lied to a little kid. I hope he's fucking happy. But my favorite Warrior moments. Oh, sorry. I forget he's here. He's quiet now.
No, he's
anything he did with Rick Rude was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yes. I like the cage match.
The cage match for the title.
Yeah.
The IC title change at SummerSlam. Or Mania. Sorry, Mania. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh,
just awesome. Shut up.
You know what's funny? Ultimate Warrior is, I just read this today, is the only guy to ever pin both Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage at WrestleMania.
Wow.
Only guy to ever do so.
That's an impressive feat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rick Rude, another guy you just mentioned, gone way, way too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. You know, you think about it, we were a little younger then. He was only 40. He's as old as Tony is now.
Yeah. I'm 40, dude.
Yeah, he was only 40. He was training for a comeback. I mean, he
was
probably had some gas in the tank still.
Yeah, mommy's 42. Well,
but you know, much like Warrior,
it's like 40 versus 40.
All right, thanks.
Okay,
yeah,
that stuff catches up to you. You know, I don't know how much abusing of his body he did with the steroids or whatever it is.
Let's just say he liked to party.
Back in the day.
That's all. That's what they called it in the 80s, partying, right?
Yeah, man.
Yes.
But, you know, Hulk Hogan in his book, not the WWE one, but the shoot one, says that the 80s were like, they were like a rock and roll era. Like you just said, it was party time. Everybody was doing something back then, and these guys were huge stars, a la like a Motley Crue or, you know, Metallica back in the day. They were huge, and, you know, they got everything probably handed to them, and when you're coming from small towns like guys like Rick Rude, Kurt Hennig, you know, little towns in Minnesota, Florida, Georgia, and now you're wrestling in the big city of New York in front of 20,000 people every month, it's easy to get caught up in stuff.
Yeah. I could imagine. I could definitely imagine.
Speaking of wrestling in front of lots of people, there was a big pay-per-view over the weekend.
That's Hold on. I want to stop you before we get... Did you watch the Hall of Fame ceremony?
Yes.
I tried. I couldn't. I had people here that just wouldn't stop talking.
Well, it was on demand on the network.
I guess it runs in the family.
I didn't watch it live. I watched it afterwards.
Mr. T is the worst and the best. The fans in New Orleans are retards.
They're very nice.
No. No. Look. The first, like, when he was going through his spiel and he was like, I love my mama on St. Patrick's Day. I love my mama on Wednesday. I love, and they were
actually skipped his speech.
What? All that? Funny. But when he kept, like, mama, I love my mama.
He loves his mama, dude.
Dude, if you played a drinking game, every time he said thank you and mama, you would be you'd be passed out by the time Kane got out there to pull him off the stage.
All right, since you guys are going to talk Hall of Fame and I really didn't watch it, I'm just going to put the little guy upstairs with his mom, so I'll be back and you guys
speaking of moms,
yourself.
Right?
There you go. Yeah. Aloha, you know, mama.
I'm going to shoot mama. Right here. And you may look at me and say, wow, this guy is, you know, scars, tattoos, all beat up and stuff. I thought I was the world's biggest mama's boy before I saw Mr. T's Hall of Fame. I love my mother.
Well, like you said, you came from a rough upbringing, right? A broken home. You know, I believe that Mr. T probably had a similar upbringing. So when you're raised like that and you become successful and you have, you know, you're doing well in life, you're going to owe it all to your mom. And that was the platform. Maybe a little excessively, and it took a lot of time.
That's all he talked about.
Yeah, but he loves his mama.
He put out a statement today about it.
He was upset that they cut him short.
Yeah. Well, Lita went on forever. By the way,
she did.
I didn't see the
Lita. Oh my god! I mean, she deserves whatever time like she get, but she went on forever talking about every little step in her career from Mexico to everything, and it was just like it picked up. It was good towards the end when she started thanking people, but it was just brutal to listen to.
At least she talked about wrestling.
That's true. Well,
Mr. T. It was great to be part of the main event of the first WrestleMania. A significant part in wrestling history. He didn't even mention that.
He's burned out.
And that mohawk was retarded.
Is that real? That can't be real.
That's got to be real.
I don't think that's real.
He did survive cancer, so it might not be real.
Did he?
That's true.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, did I even?
That was like about 10 years ago or so.
No love for Face. No love for Murdoch. I thought Danzig was going to come out and play Mother as he walked off the stage.
You never heard his song about his mama? Love my mama, treat her right.
I'd pull it up, but I hate this laptop's a piece of garbage.
We're back to the cancer laptop.
So we don't need to do that. I guess that's really all there is to talk about.
Well,
the
Jake,
Hall of Fame.
Jake did a great speech.
And DDP had a great intro for him, talking about like a couple of their, you know, little trials and whatnot.
He wrote the book on ring psychology.
He's like,
snake's gone. He wasn't afraid of me. He was afraid of Kimberly.
I thought that was great.
Kane doing Paul Bearer was awesome, and then The Undertaker coming out after Paul Bearer's sons were out. One of them has the diabetes that takes a leg, by the way.
Oh,
you want to take money on that?
The really big one that didn't say anything. He's in bad shape. He's got a terrible future.
Oh, God.
He looks just like his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he sounded like him, too. Didn't he just go,
that was the other one.
That was the other one. Whatever it is.
But Warrior gave a killer speech. Razor Ramon gave a great speech.
No
with
pun
the click
intended.
At the end.
God.
Jesus.
Rough.
But yeah, Hall of Fame was good. I got a chance to watch it and I enjoyed it. I've never really watched the Hall of Fame ceremony, so it was kind of cool.
Because they always freaking
cut it
down, and it's not like the guys you want to see aren't the ones on there. It's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was 3.5 hours, wasn't it? It was almost 4 hours.
Yeah, but it's a network. They got time. They can do whatever they want.
It's so long.
Yeah.
And like I said, I skipped Mr. T and I skipped.
How do you skip Mr. T?
Because I heard so many bad things about it. Whenever I see something like go terribly awkward, I just go like this and turn away anyway. So I figured I'd save myself the
the anxiety.
You got to live through it. You got to have your own opinion.
I don't.
All right, so when we, moving on to WrestleMania, everyone's talked about it already. I mean, there's really nothing to just elaborate on. What I want to talk about with Louis is you are a fan of Brock ending the streak. A lot of people pissed off about that. What's your take on that?
A lot of people, man. Yeah. A lot of people.
One of them is my wife. I don't know if she's listening now. Honey, Angela, I love you. But she was an Undertaker fan growing up, so this is my take on it. The guy wrestled 21-0 at WrestleMania. He wrestled some big names, and he beat them all. I think it was time. I think, in my personal opinion, Edge, who at the time was white hot, super heel, 9-0 at WrestleMania, had the most to earn and benefit from beating the streak at that moment.
Yeah.
He buried him. Batista was getting that big buildup. They buried him for The Undertaker. They made Shawn Michaels retire for him. I guess that was probably Shawn's call. But I like the way the streak ended because it was ended by a legitimate guy. And this is where my argument is to people that may or may not like it or not. Brock Lesnar, whether you like him or not, whether you call him a part-timer or not, is a legitimate UFC former heavyweight champion. That means that at one point he was one of the best fighters, legitimate fighters in the world. And Undertaker not only was, I guess, friendly with him, but went to the UFCs to support him. And, you know, this guy, like I said, he has that on his resume. Undertaker can always go back and say, look, the only one who ever beat me at WrestleMania was a bona fide badass who was a former wrestling champion and UFC champion. And that, I don't think anybody ever, or at least in our lifetime, will ever duplicate that. And by that, I mean UFC and WWE champion.
Well, if you go and you look at the story, and a lot of people downplayed him against Lesnar. I mean, even we did. Like, he's just going to go over. Taker's going to go over. But if you go back and you look at it, the whole time leading up to Mania, Heyman's, you're old. You're running out of steam. You're not going to do it. Time is catching up to you.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar is a machine. And it's the truth. I mean, everything Louis said is spot on. He's a megastar. Brock Lesnar is a megastar. He did it in UFC. He did it in WWE. And apparently, Taker wanted him to beat him like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then here's another angle that Pat Buck on 2.5 Wrestlers talked about on the last episode. Do you really want Sting against Taker for the streak?
You know, he did make a good point.
That was
that's
a
right.
good point.
Like, that would be retarded.
Let me... people were like, oh, it should have went to a young guy. It should have went to an up-and-comer. It would have made them. And I made those same arguments for years myself.
And I made those same arguments at first after I saw the match. But in hindsight, thinking about it,
yeah, now that it happened, it's easy to fit yourself. Like, it's hard when it doesn't happen to think about it. Like, oh, why would you let Brock Lesnar? And now that it's happened, it's like, yeah, you know what? Okay, this does make sense.
It does.
But if they would have just even done it with CM Punk last year, look at where Punk is now. And McMahon is very scared to let people just walk out of his company and let them have something over him. He's been burned too many times in the past.
That's true.
Bret Hart.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, all right, yeah, they mended fences eventually. But, yeah, it's the same thing, man. It's the same thing. Yeah, I don't know. One of the mics is funny. I'll figure it out. Go ahead. Talk amongst yourselves.
You hear the funny buzz?
Yeah, I hear it. Let's see who it is. Keep
no one's
going
to notice that, but I noticed it.
I think the mic is scared of my ugly face, bro.
Now, the mic deals with my ugly face every week, so you're good.
That's the ugly couch.
It takes a while. Like, everyone has their opinions immediately after something happens, and obviously 24 hours later you have a level head at the time because, like, you're just feeding off the emotion after it initially happens.
Yeah.
And I'm usually – my reaction doesn't usually change or my opinion doesn't usually change, but I'm more capable of understanding the arguing opinion. I still don't think Brock Lesnar should have been the one to do it. I still think it should have been to a guy that I mean, I get Louis' point, and it's a very valid one, and probably is the most valid one I've ever heard.
You're just saying that you don't want him to stab you?
No, I'm just saying.
Because he's
there. Thanks for putting that on Facebook,
he's
by
right
the way.
There.
Now he's got a 24-ounce of Miller High Life in his hand, and he's going to get violent, and he's going to stab me in the throat.
But the
fact that he is a part-timer, and the fact that he's not going to be around to capitalize on it till SummerSlam, or to bring that up again till SummerSlam, or who knows, maybe an appearance here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like it should have gone to somebody else. If not this year, then next year. If not this year, then last year.
Well, if anything, it legitimized Heyman as a manager
until Monday Night Raw.
Well, that was weird.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but
yeah, that was weird.
But you could argue the complete Taker wins, he keeps his streak, and then you don't see him for another year. You get the sporadic shows, you know, he shows up here and there.
But that's perfect for his character.
Is it perfect because he's getting super old and he can barely go? Cause
that
he,
too. That
the whole
hurt.
Match was Lesnar power moves and then a couple signature Undertaker. He didn't wrestle a match. He didn't do anything.
But did you hear the aftermath of the match was that McMahon left with the Undertaker and he was concussed?
Yeah, because Eddie called it. When he's got Lesnar in Hell's Gate and Lesnar picks him up with one arm to power bomb him, you see the whiplash of Taker's head, and you could tell instantly that's it. Like, he's out.
Once that happened, I said concussion. Like, that was it. And Louis, again, having been in the ring a lot, I'm sure you've suffered plenty of concussions in the types of matches you've had. Was there ever an instance where you're in a match and you just take a hard shot to the head and you just have to kind of struggle through it or just be led through because you just don't know what the hell's going on?
There was three times in my career, and I remember because I have a very hard head, thank God, for what I do. One of the local guys, Bison Bravado, hit me with a rolling elbow a la Masato Tanaka.
Yes.
Knocked me for a loop.
Damn.
Homicide one time gave me the running boot in the corner.
Yo, yeah.
And I thought he ripped off my nose.
Oh, my God.
And the last one was trading punches with Corporal Robinson at IWA King of the Death matches.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, man. My head still hurts thinking about that. But that guy hits for real.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% legit punches. Oof.
God, so those are probably undiagnosed concussions that you suffered through.
But back to my point, but Taker losing, like, that's what we grew up on. Like, the surprise, the
oh, don't Eddie get me said wrong, it, I popped for it.
That,
don't get me wrong.
That fat black kid who's like... And everyone's putting, like, the photo memes and stuff. And, like, Bill Apter's going to talk to him on his show.
WWE just talked to him today.
Like, that's the reaction you're looking for. That's what we love about wrestling.
And you're right. And that's what made this WrestleMania one that all of us were not 100% looking forward to. And then that reaction, just like your jaw, like, no pun intended, the cliche, whatever, drops.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're staring. I was at the bar watching it on my phone. And I'm just like, my phone just fell out of my hand when Brock Lesnar did that. And I was shocked, upset, but they got me. You know what I mean? They got me.
That's
and that's I guess that at the end of the day, they did what they were supposed to do. And they got everyone talking. And it was, I guess they know better than me.
I heard it on Z100 Monday morning. Like, I was, there was a commercial on Mike and Mike. And I was going through the channels. And I heard The Undertaker's music. And I stopped. And the same thing this morning.
ESPN.
Z100 was talking about The Ultimate Warrior, and then Boomer and Carton were talking about the Ultimate Warrior. Boomer's like, yeah, I played with Flying Brian Pillman.
Yeah,
like,
on the Bengals.
Crazy.
And ESPN Around the Horn had it, talking about the Brock. That was Woody Page had his, he won the thing, and his like final say was about the Undertaker and Brock Lesnar's WrestleMania match and Brock Lesnar breaking the streak. It's a big deal. Like,
it's awesome.
It, when something like that. And the only time wrestling gets in the mainstream is when it involves a celebrity. This was pro wrestling, and that's it. And that made it everywhere in the major news outlets or the sports outlets and the pop culture outlets. So that says something.
Yeah, they did their job.
Yeah.
By far one of the best WrestleManias in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, I agree. It was one of the best.
And part of that, the big reason why is Daniel Bryan. Got his moment, which was basically what WrestleMania was supposed to be about the entire time. And what are your guys' thoughts on the first of all, the Daniel Bryan Triple H match?
Awesome.
Which, I mean, Louis, I mean,
that was a great wrestling match from top to bottom, and it showed that these independent guys have what it takes to get in the ring with these muscle bound guys, help them get around the ring, help them, you know, to a great match. On both sides, even though Triple H is a guy that could work and has worked great for many years, this match showed that he could still go with a guy like Daniel Bryan because it brought it out of him because Triple H hasn't wrestled in about a year, 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was able to pull out a great match. So it goes to show you that Daniel Bryan is able to work with anybody and everybody.
That's right.
This is going to make me want to see Triple H more, which is going to like upset a whole lot of people.
You know what?
But I want to see him wrestle more.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, I need to go back. I need to watch. Like, everyone was like, he's with Stephanie. He buries people. Like, maybe he was just put in that position where he was told, you need to do this. Like, now he's running the business. Like, he did what was best for business.
Well,
the fact that he
always
lost
politicking.
Of course,
I'm
there's
sure
always politicking.
Everyone's had a hand in that back there.
But the fact that he lost clean as a whistle, with Stephanie a mere 6 feet away from him.
He had to.
And that was another finish that kind of came out of nowhere, too, which I loved.
Yeah, he had to lose.
A lot of the right things happened at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
A lot of right things happened at WrestleMania this year.
Even the pre-show tag match was awesome.
Oh, that was incredible.
Incredible. Although they couldn't figure out that it was an elimination for a while.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, they can lose without being pinned. Oh, wait, it's elimination? Oh, forget that.
Yeah.
And they had a whole two-hour pre-show to, like, go over that, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, you change things on the fly sometimes.
Yeah.
I didn't know the triple threat match was a no-DQ match until, like, halfway through it.
Well, no one did.
I guess it would have to be, though, right?
Triple threat matches aren't no-DQ anyway, or no?
That's what I thought.
Mm. Oh, I don't know.
Unless they figured they had to spell out the first one. They had to, for the tag match, they probably wanted to, spell out this one.
Probably.
Something like that.
And then we go to Daniel Bryan beating Triple H and going on to the triple threat.
And winning
the WWE World Heavyweight. Another good match.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like was after the Triple H, Stephanie, and whatever Armstrong was the referee. I mixed them all up.
Scott.
From that point up until where the RKO and Batista bomb combo, it just seemed like it was like a complete dead spot for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if it was just methodical and I wasn't into it, but it just seemed that there was too much of a stretch between this big high that we got with him finally eliminating Triple H, Stephanie, and the referee, to that point where it was like, okay, this is going to be the final windup of the match,
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
all
just
in all,
me.
It was fantastic.
No, I agree. I could have done without that little lull in the middle.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everyone else was screaming for CM Punk when
Orton
Batista decided, let's do this. And everyone was expecting CM Punk to run in, but that's not even...
And Orton bumped for the RKO on the monitor.
Oh,
on his
God, yes.
Dude, I cringed for 3 minutes. It was horrible.
Louis's like, that's a pussy bump.
That's a great bump, because those monitors, you don't know what if the table's going to give way. And if you eat that monitor on your back, you're going to hurt your back.
Especially if you hit the side, the corner.
Yeah.
And he had no idea it was there.
No, not until he hit it. No idea.
And you could tell for the next couple minutes,
he was
like, but Dave, don't touch my back. Get away from my back.
Yeah, that was rough.
Every time he threw him into the padding, he kind of took it with his ribs.
Yeah, that's right.
Just some observations. Dave Batista, if he's going to be back full time, needs to get fucking normal tights and boots.
Yes.
I don't know what that leg warmer fucking 80s fucking flash dance look he was going for. It just did not work.
Rhiannon was all about seeing his junk.
Yeah, but you're in the main event of WrestleMania. You're wearing fucking green sneakers and wigwam leg warmers. Come on.
I hope they keep those two together, though.
Oh, and Brian's boots were a tribute to Bruiser Brody, by the way.
I think we all kind of got that. When we saw him. No one else made that?
I
thought it was a tribute to the Berserker.
Oh.
I thought it was to Johnny Mongwe myself.
If anyone deserves a WrestleMania tribute, it's John Nord.
All right. Yeah. If anybody.
You got your muffler in, Daddy.
If anybody.
Bray Wyatt, John Cena. Outside of the finish, the match was great. When he goes for You Can't See Me and Bray Wyatt pushes up and he's
that
in
that cool spot.
That was fucking awesome.
You know what? Maybe I need to get into the Wyatts more. I'm just not into the Wyatts.
You're not into the Wyatts, but you like Dixie Carter.
Listen, I'd rather be in Dixie Carter,
It should have been you.
Everyone says that the Wyatts, especially Bray.
I just got it.
Oh, me too. Ring the bell.
Oh, yeah, I got this. Hold on.
There it is.
There. A weak ring, but a ring nonetheless. Before you get into what you're going to say, Louis, you were a fan of Taker losing. Were you a fan of Cena winning?
Yeah, dude.
I must be. I'm guilty.
Louis does the hand wave in his matches and shit.
I like John Cena.
There you go.
I think he's good, especially for small kids.
Yep. Which you have.
Which I have.
Yeah.
Do I think he needed to win? No. Am I happy he won? Yeah.
Now I'm going to throw something at you.
Yeah, but he's been on the weekend of that feud. Like, the Wyatts have always been getting one over on him,
as
right?
He should.
So, yeah. I mean, they built that match where he had to go over, but nobody wanted it.
True.
I also have a theory after Eddie's throwing of stuff at Louis.
Okay, what's your theory?
I thought Eddie was going to throw stuff.
No, I'm not going to throw anything at Louis. I don't want to die.
No, I didn't mean literally throw something. You said you were going to throw something at him.
Like, no, knowledge. He said he was going to throw something at me before.
No, he said he's
oh,
really
I thought you were going to throw an argument at him.
Well, he had this empty bottle here.
All right, so Matt, go.
he leaves in May to do that Judd Apatow movie, Cena. Who knows how big his role is? Extreme Rules, maybe they go back to the well and they just write him out.
Yeah, maybe they put him out. Maybe that's the big send-off.
Maybe he becomes the monster that they want him to be, and they beat the fucking piss out of him.
Did anyone else think that they deserved, I mean, I'm jumping ahead, they deserved better on Raw than just a six-man tag match?
They looked strong as hell over three top guys.
Yeah, they need it. Was
Biggie
like,
Langston's a top guy?
I think they've been building him up, you know?
Dude, he was eliminated like in the middle of the Battle Royal.
Like right after Yoshitatsu.
He's the Intercontinental
champion. He's a big black dude with muscles, and he's the Intercontinental champion. That's like a golden boy to them. Mark Henry's been hurt every other week. They have to have somebody replace him.
He was in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, and he got dumped fairly quickly, too.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But it was a strong win.
For Cesaro.
But they didn't do. They didn't give him any. Oh, that's another great point.
That Battle Royal.
And we'll get to that.
Battle Royal was. I'm sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I'll stick with the Battle Royal part of it.
No. Let's finish up the Wyatts.
See, now I lost my train of thought.
They wrestled on Raw.
I thought they deserved more. At least one of them should have had a promo.
True, but don't forget, last year's WrestleMania, wasn't it the Shield against, like, Sheamus, the Big Show, and Orton?
Orton, yes. Yeah.
Maybe that was their quote-unquote, you know, big match where they needed that to go over because they lost to Cena, or he lost to Cena.
I don't know. I thought Wyatt should have gone over. A lot of people say that Wyatt's character, you can lose every single week and nothing will happen to him. I disagree with that. I thought it would have, the best way to look strong in a match, in my opinion, even in a loss, is to win the match.
Yeah,
everyone says you could look real strong in a loss. Yeah, but it's not as strong as winning the match. And I think Bray Wyatt would have looked 10 times stronger winning the match than he did looking strong losing the match. And it wouldn't have hurt Cena at all.
People are buying Cena t-shirts. They're not buying Bray Wyatt t-shirts.
And Cena's not losing at WrestleMania.
Well, he has before.
I know he has before, but he's
not
lost,
since he became Super Cena.
He's lost main event matches at WrestleMania. He's not going to lose on an undercard to Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Actually, I think the only time he lost was against The Miz, and that was to build up that feud with The Rock. That went 2 years.
No, there was That's Miz. Right. No, I think he's lost other matches.
Lost to The Miz. He lost to The Rock.
But then he got his win back.
Yeah, but I think before that, well, didn't he lose a couple of
times? Shawn Michaels.
He beat Shawn Michaels.
That's what I mean. He beat Shawn Michaels. He beat Bradshaw.
He beat Big Show.
I would ask you to punch this up on the laptop.
He's got a pretty successful record at WrestleMania. Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of losses at all, if more than two. Two might be it.
And I don't think he loses to The Rock if The Rock doesn't agree to come back.
Right. That's true. Yeah, I agree with that.
The Shield squashing Kane and the Outlaws was exactly what it needed to be.
Absolutely.
I don't care what anyone says.
I think everybody's been talking about everything else. That I think everybody's in agreement on.
The way they re-popped and re-put a reboost into the Shield after that tease breakup stuff, I love it. I love them. I wanted them to break up. I wanted Ambrose to be a star. I wanted them all to be stars. Now, keep them together and make them run. Make them be like the biggest thorn in the authority side you could possibly be.
Yeah, I mean, after what they did with them Monday night, I mean, you can't ask for anything more.
Fantastic. Monday was fantastic.
It was. It was a good show.
I loved it.
It was a good show.
I think overall they did Mania right. They even. All right, you know what? Let's talk Battle Royal then, I guess.
No.
No?
God, no.
Why not?
I'm done talking Mania.
It was a Battle Royal.
From day one.
But the ending of the Battle Royal was sick.
The ending of the Battle Royal was the way it was supposed to be.
Cesaro is a beast.
That was a last-minute decision.
That was awesome, though. Big scoop
slam. He was number 31.
Oh, well.
You think they what?
Yeah,
he was. Who are they going to go with then?
Probably like
one W-O-N.
I said it from the moment Hogan announced it, Cesaro was going to win that battle.
Yeah, they hyped up Big Show way too much.
And then when they pulled him for the tag match, I was like, last week I said it. If I think that Cesaro still finds a way into the Battle Royal and he wins it, and I'm just going to toot my own horn for a couple minutes.
Yeah,
bravo, Kev.
Toot away, Kev.
Bravo. It was just weird. He's the only guy pulled out of the other match to be in it, and he was the 31st guy.
That's what they said. That's 31.
That's weird. Yeah, so that makes me think it's a last-minute decision, and they didn't want to pull anyone else from their WrestleMania moment.
Yeah,
so.
But it elevated him needed to be. The breakup with Swagger made perfect sense because after they lost, Eddie was like, he's got to do the swing. He's got to do the swing on Swagger.
He did?
He did the swing on Swagger because Swagger put him in the ankle lock.
But now it's all kind of shot to shit.
I agree.
You think because of Heyman?
I agree.
You take Heyman, who's now the most hated guy in WWE because he managed Brock beating The Undertaker. Cesaro is starting to get face pops. He's getting over huge. And then you pair him with Heyman.
I agree.
And now, it's just weird.
Are they gonna make Cesaro still be a heel?
Yeah, he wrestled as a heel on SmackDown against Big Show.
All right. Well, here's something that you're forgetting though. Vince not too long ago said he wanted to go back to Shades of Grey. Maybe this is one of the first steps.
I don't know. In my opinion, if I was booking, I'd take heel Cesaro now that he's here with Paul Heyman, push him to a program with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, well, that's a no-brainer. You have to.
Yeah. Imagine the matches you get out of that.
Because Brock Lesnar just defeated The Undertaker. He's next in line Fair point.
Louis, let me ask you this. Other than Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman does not have the best track record of Paul Heyman guys.
Nope.
So Curtis Axel, dud. Ryback, dud. I fear Cesaro might be I thought Ryback was hurt by being paired with Heyman. I think Cesaro is hurt by being paired with Heyman. Matt seems like he has something to say. I guess I'll go to you right after.
But you look at Ryback and Curtis Axel. They did not. There was a Cesaro section at WrestleMania. People are behind him. They're going to get behind him. Heel or face, people are going to go crazy. No one gives a shit about Curtis Axel and Ryback,
but
fucking he took a nosedive like nobody's business.
I agree, but the whole point is for Heyman to make people give a shit about them, and that didn't work for these two
because they suck. I'm sorry,
Curtis Axel doesn't suck. He has no.
You more excited for a Curtis Axel match or a Cesaro?
I would have been more excited for Cesaro without Paul Heyman being anywhere near him.
Fair enough, but I think the problem with Curtis Axel and Ryback is like Ryback had the Feed Me More going, and they completely destroyed it. Curtis Axel really didn't have anything except for like the fact that he's Mr. Perfect's kid. It was the same thing with DiBiase's kid. You just can't say, oh, it's so-and-so's kid.
Hey, don't knock the DiBiase posse.
I love the DiBiase posse. I wish they would have ran with it a little longer.
That shit was
You play your cards right. The DiBiase posse might come here. He's got nothing else going on.
That's true.
Louis, what's your take on Heyman Cesaro?
I like Cesaro. I think he should have stayed single. I have to agree. They should have kept him as a singles heel, though, so he could go after Daniel Bryan. I know you just said Shades of Grey. But the essence of wrestling is good against evil.
Yes.
And if you want those great matches, maybe you do put Heyman in. Maybe they did see that Cesaro was getting these pops, and putting Heyman with him is a way to neutralize that, to have him as a heel, to go into the program with Daniel Bryan.
Is he a good promo?
Who?
Cesaro?
I thought he was fine when he was talking on Monday.
Here's another angle they might be playing. Heyman just took Brock to WrestleMania and beat Taker.
Yeah.
So why not take the hottest guy? Not saying this is their mindset, but from the outside looking in, for us who maybe we, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but maybe we know a little better. I mean, he's the hottest guy. Heyman just took Lesnar to the top. Why not grab the hottest guy and see if you could take him for the ride too?
Yeah, it'd be great if it led to Daniel Bryan Cesaro matches.
Which I think it's a no-brainer that it probably will for the time being. I think Bryan will have to do one more off with Orton or Triple H or Batista before we get there.
All three. I mean, after Raw, it looks like they're setting up a 4-on-4. You know, maybe they drag out old fucking banana nose, as Terry Funk used to call him.
Ric Flair?
Get him and his crying ass off the fucking Legends panel.
I want a segue here. Terry Funk.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Do you hate Terry Funk?
No, listen to me.
God damn it.
Terry Funk, Louis Ramos.
Terry Funk and Low Life Louis Ramos met on September 27th, 2003. I met him in Woodbridge, New Jersey. I was there to watch him wrestle Homicide, and I was booked to wrestle Terry Funk the next day in Bill Williams Gym in Southern Connecticut University. I wrestled Terry Funk in probably one of the top five, if not top three, moments of my career. He treated me with the respect of a veteran. I love Terry Funk with all my heart. He actually knocked half my tooth out during the match, which, as you guys can see.
That's from Terry Funk. That's
Terry Funk throwing the chairs, going crazy.
God.
Hit me in the face.
A reckless, crazy old man.
Yes. I actually after he did that to me, I put the spinning toe hold on him.
Nice.
And that I think I busted a nut while I was doing that. But
Terry Funk
after
is an attractive man.
We go in the locker room where, you know, he apologizes for the chair. I show him my tooth and back and forth. And the place where we were at had great locker rooms. showers and everything. And Terry Funk goes, I'm going to go in the shower. So I pull a rib on Terry Funk, and I pull out the dildo that I use in my matches, and I start chasing a naked Terry Funk around the shower with it. He goes, stop that, you asshole. Stop chasing me with that. And then after we stop, he gives me the biggest hug in the world, and I'll never forget him for that.
He was still naked at the time.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. What a visual. And you guys have a great picture together right after the match.
Yes,
too.
Yes. And
naked in the shower.
That picture hangs in my locker at work and at home everywhere.
That's fantastic. Awesome.
That picture to me is the dreams come true picture.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Was he bleeding out of his ear?
Like no, he was.
Old
he had
fuck
this,
that he is.
Jesus. Had this big old gash on his head because Homicide had cut him with something.
Oh, the night before.
And then I attacked it with the fork during the match. So yeah, he was still juicing, but
nice.
So was I. So
how do you feel about his singing career? Have you checked out his album?
No, but now that you tell me that, I'm gonna.
Are you serious, Louis? Barbra Streisand's Nose is a hit.
What was the other one he had about school?
We Hate School.
We Hate School. That was it.
If I could, if this piece of shit worked, Jimmy? I would play you.
Hold on.
Some Terry Funk, please.
Jimmy Hart wrote that album.
It was a hit in Japan. I'm not even busting balls. Like 1984.
I gotta listen to this.
Oh, you'll love it.
Barbra Streisand's Nose, We Hate School. Do you need the camera? Fuck, what else?
Incredible stuff. Speaking of hit, were his punches as legit as people say they are?
I had wrestled two nights before for USA Pro. Oh, you can. And I had, you know, had a juice mark on my head. And it took three Terry Funk left hands to bust that sucker wide open. Legit. Man. And when I wrestled him, it was 2003, so he was like 58.
Yeah.
And he still kicked ass, man.
Still.
Put me through a table. We brawled all over that godforsaken building. It was just, it was a solid match for a guy like myself. I have zero talent. Zero talent. I'll shoot, Louis. Man.
Well,
and
welcome to
a
the
guy like
talentless.
That, who's 58 years old at the time and had just come off the night before getting beat up and pile driven on a chair twice by Homicide, to come back and him kick ass like he did, he's unbelievable. He's superhuman.
Did That's he bust incredible. Out the moonsault?
No, he busted out the Stone Cold Stunner.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
That's funny. Now, is hardcore something you always wanted to do, getting into the business? Because you're known for a lot of crazy shit.
You know, it's funny. I've been, like we were talking before, I'm a lifelong Hulkamaniac.
Yeah.
You know, some people worship Jesus Christ. Some people worship Allah. I worship Hogan.
He's That's up a there. Shoot,
brother.
He's right there.
That's a shoot, brother. But back in 1987, 88, they used to give the Puerto Rican Wrestling, World Wrestling Council on Channel 41.
Yes.
And what's now Univision. Univision. And I saw Carlos Colon take on Abdullah the Butcher. And then I look in the mirror without a shirt. And as an 11-year-old boy and as a 37-year-old man, I look much more like Abdullah the Butcher than I do Hulk Hogan. So I saw this guy beating this other guy with a fork and throwing chairs and pulled the hammer out of his boob and hit him with it. And I'm like, I want to be that guy, I said to myself.
Wow.
So I always was attracted to Abdullah the Butcher. And
he's a handsome man, right, Kevin?
Yeah. Well, not in that way.
I think you guys know sold my joke before.
You know, years
I didn't
later,
want to drop the story.
I followed that, and then when I had gotten out of high school, I didn't know what to do. I was actually doing real good at school. Scored a 1350 on my SATs. Was going to go to college.
Wow, wow.
I had 8 scholarships, and I tell people this story all the time, and I tell everybody to go to school and not be like me. I had 8 scholarships, Duke, Cornell, University of Pennsylvania, NYU, and a couple
Damn.
Others. Sitting on a table, I was ready to go to Duke University. On February 14th, 1995, I heard about the barbed wire baseball bat match, Ian and Axel. My buddy Oscar used to order stuff from Rob Feinstein.
Yeah.
And Rob Feinstein used to send him the stuff right away because he would buy bulk. About 10 days after the show, we got the videotape. I saw Ian versus Axel, the barbed wire mad match, the infamous one. I took all those scholarships. I threw them in a garbage can.
Oh,
I called my brother, again, wow. God rest his soul. And I said, bro, can you get me some barbed wire? He was like, why? I'm like, I need some barbed wire. I'll explain to you when you get home. My brother gets home with 100 feet of barbed wire. I show him the match. I proceed to rep my friend Scotty, who was Mace from the Christopher Street Connection.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wow.
I wrapped his baseball bat in barbed wire, proceeded to start hitting myself with it, and said, fuck college, I want to be one of the Rottens.
Wow.
Jesus. Good God.
Holy crap.
Quick little story. March 9th, 2000, Don Bosco Prep High School Gym in Ramsey, New Jersey. Me and the man who trained me, Homicide, and a big, huge shout out to him. Without him, half of the New York indie scene wouldn't be here.
That's true.
A shoot.
That's true.
Homicide is probably top five in the world, in my opinion.
A lot of people say that.
Without, he could do any style. And without him, there is no me. There's no Loki. There's no Hit Squad. There's no a ton of the indies in New York. And he was the guy who trained me. And me and him get to the building in Ramsey, New Jersey, Don Bosco Prep. And Fat Frank walks up to us. He goes, "You guys are wrestling the Bad Breed, Ian and Axel Rotten."
Oh, wow. Man.
Dream come true.
We destroyed that building, man. And that, to me, is probably the greatest moment of my career, teaming with my mentor against the two guys who I basically idolized from watching on the TV, saying, "I want to be like them, fuck school."
Now,
wow.
You hear that, kids? School is not for you.
Sorry. No. I digress. I tell everybody, don't do it like me.
Yeah.
Go to school.
No, I was just. Yeah. So let me. So you do the hardcore stuff. You get the barbed wire, baseball bat, and all that jazz. Going forward, how do you feel about them taking the hardcore level to a whole nother just craziness with the fucking weed whackers and shit like that? I mean, the barbed wire baseball bat and all that stuff, I get it. I like it. I enjoy it. A huge deathmatch fan. But when you're like the weed whacker, that's fucked up. Like, that's crazy shit. That really is like,
I'm
now you're just
the barbed wire bat, but the weed whacker.
No, because you're crossing the line.
I'll pop for a weed whacker.
I enjoy all types of deathmatch, and I've wanted to use a weed whacker. I've actually used drills in my matches. I had a drill bit drilled into my head one time by Grim Reefer.
My
wife will always tell you this. She sat front row. This is our first Valentine's Day together. And I made her sit front row when I wrestled for USA Pro. And it was me against Grim Reefer. And Grim Reefer drills me, puts a screw in my head, and drills me legit as she's sitting about 20 feet away.
Oh, my God.
And,
God,
wine, chocolates, roses, a drill.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just par for the course.
I love any weapon that could be used in a good way, in an innovative way, I'm down for it, whether it be weed whacker. John Moxley against the late, great Brain Damage, they used the Sawzall. And John Moxley actually takes the Sawzall to the head from Brain Damage.
Oh.
And, now John Moxley's now Dean Ambrose. So.
Yeah. That's. He used to be involved with a lot of crazy shit.
I have to ask. This comes up in conversation. It's like, "Hey, Louie, I got an idea. How about I put a screw into your head using this drill?" And you just go, "Yeah, fuck it. Let's do it." Like,
yeah, usually the crazy, stupid ideas come from me.
But why?
I just want to push the envelope. Like, a lot of it has been done, and I want to go crazy. Like, in the last few years, I've toned down. You're a father. I'm a father of two. So I can't really
go home. He was pointing to Tony, by the way. If you count all the dead sperm on my stomach from last night, I'm a father of like 1,000.
it's rough because I love doing that stuff. Now I have to tame myself and say, "Hey, do I want to get drilled? Do I want to get sawzall?
I'm always looking to get drilled.
Do I want
to
get do I want to get sliced with a box cutter?" Eh, sometimes, if it's the right situation, right opportunity, right match, sure.
Yeah.
And quick segue. I think it's been announced by Jeffrey Kane from On Point Wrestling. May 17th, 2014, the match that should have happened last year will be happening this year for On Point Wrestling. Eras Collide, Low Life Louis Ramos, Matt Tremont, Pain and Agony Deathmatch.
Wow. Nice.
And Sewell, New Jersey.
Oh, my God.
So
that's
you
awesome.
You mentioned the Rotten Brothers and the barbed wire baseball bat. Excuse me. It was only a matter of time before I did it. I'm surprised I didn't do it before. Did you go from there? Like, I was like, When I found ECW, I thought was the greatest.
Yes.
And then I went, like, Japan Deathmatch. Did you go the same route where you're watching, like, dudes fucking brawl through a bathhouse and there's naked chicks?
Yes. Tarzan Goto.
Yeah, tank of full of piranhas and the alligators.
And I have every single one of those DVDs in my shelf at home. Awesome. Because that is all I ever wanted to do in my life. I look at Jun Kasai and I believe his first name is Machete Takeda.
He's with Kasai the name like student.
They are the two, you know, the top guys, the teacher and the student at Big Japan, and Yaki Numazawa. What's the other guy's name?
Ryuji
Ito. You know, all these guys, they still do that kind of stuff out there. And I'm a huge fan. And before I retire, I want to wrestle either Takeda or Kasai in one of these, like, razor board death matches. Masada also is another guy who's been up in CZW and all over the East Coast. Before I retire, there's three guys. One is Tremont, and that's going to happen, hopefully, if the ribs heal up on May 17th. Masada, hopefully, down the line. And before he retires, because I've heard grumblings that Kasai is giving it up.
Oh, really?
I do hope that I wrestle Kasai, because then I could die a happy man.
That's the bucket list. Yeah. That's the bucket list.
All right, boys. I'm out.
Ladies.
Bye, Kevin. Shining Wizards Kevin signing off.
You have any plugs that you want to get out before you leave?
If you can make it to West Orange in the next 15 minutes, I'll be doing a show at the Joke Barrel in West Orange. I'll keep plugging this because tickets are going to sell out. Mm-hmm. June 5th, Garwood, New Jersey. Me, my buddy Adam Lucidi, who's been on the show, and Mick Foley.
That's an awesome lineup, folks.
So, I mean, get out. Get your tickets now. Eventbrite.com. Garden State Comedy. That's all I'll plug for now. Oh, Friday, if you're around Karlstadt, I'll be performing at Reds in Karlstadt. Louis, thank you very much, man.
Kevin,
I hope to talk to you soon. Guys,
take a
I'm
picture.
Out.
Let's you two take a picture while we talk.
Yeah, take all right, a picture.
Yeah, definitely get a picture with him.
Who's going to take the picture?
I'll take the picture.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
While you guys are doing photo ops, Pogo or Onita?
Wow. Just leave on. I actually used to come out to the ring with the knives and stuff like Pogo.
Jesus.
But I'd have to say Onita because he was the father. He was the one booking all of this.
Yeah.
So he was the one that I would have loved to just to sit down for an hour and pick his brain. I would have, oh my God. He wrestled everybody. He wrestled Funk. He wrestled Hayabusa, Goto, Pogo.
All those guys.
Oh man. It's such a throw. Fucking like Wing Kanemura.
Yes.
Oh God. I ordered from IVP Video like years ago. Maybe not years ago, like 2 years ago, like a 5-disc death match, and I brought it over to Pat's house and we watched it, and it was just like memories just flooding back to me. The fucking piranha death match and anything with an exploding ring was like awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that stuff is crazy.
And so I really credit that to, for me to discovering it, was ECW and then ICP. Fucking Stranglemania.
Yeah.
When I got my hands on Stranglemania, all I noticed was Cactus Jack. I had no idea what the fuck I was getting into. And I put it in the living room, and like me and my brother, I must have been like 13, and my brother's like 10. And my mom's cooking dinner, and all of a sudden it's like, this motherfucker with his fucking Yankee blue jeans. And I'm like... I'm like, oh, my God. And my mother's like, what are you watching? I'm like, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, the language that came out of that Stranglemania was ridiculous. Lama Lama Numi.
Yeah,
fucking
Deadly
Drunk Fred. Terry Flunk. Cactus Sack.
That was incredible shit.
It was phenomenal. And then Stranglemania 2.
Yeah.
With
is that where that woman gets dropped on her head?
Yeah.
Microphones, Tony. Microphones.
I'm fucking on mic. I'm helping Kevin.
Oh, phenomenal. The deathmatch scene was just so crazy.
It was. It was nuts, especially at that time. And at that time, you were also in heavy in Jersey All Pro Wrestling.
Jersey All Pro
champion.
Was my home. Jersey All Pro was my home. I won the Suicidal title on December 16th, 1999, defeating Homicide. I defended it against Jay Lover, Glenda Maniac Strange, The Rottens, both Ian and Axel. And it was a good time, but then...
Christy Whitman had to come along with her.
I'm not going to say it. I know my wife hates the C word, so I'm not going to say it.
I'll say
it. She's the C word.
Come on. What, really?
You said twat in front of your kid. Come on.
She started buckling down, and she actually, I have the video somewhere. There's a, she does like some kind of like a little, you know, like one of these, the politicians, they always
like
do
a
these.
Porno?
They do those too, what, like, yeah, a little, like a press conference?
Press conference type thing. She mentions me by name. Huh? She mentions the wife beater from CZW, Matt Prince, by name, and says that we are terrible examples to the youth of New Jersey, and she wants to stop this kind of wrestling from getting any further. And for a long time after that, there was really no blood in New Jersey from, like, I'd say 2000 to, like, 2005, 6.
I remember that.
You couldn't see any blood, no barbed wire, nothing. CZW left South Jersey at that time.
They went to Delaware.
To go to Philly and Delaware.
Yeah.
And Fat Frank changed the style all around to a more, before there was Ring of Honor, Jersey All Pro was doing that style with Homicide,
yes,
Low Key, Dixie, Insane Dragon, the Hit Squad, the Haas Brothers, you know, guys like that.
They had to completely alter it, which was fine, but they were so hot at the time with the hardcore shit, and then that had to happen. And I remember that was like, devastating.
You know, that kind of ruined my career, to tell you the truth, because from there I really got discouraged. I was just helping out at the LIWF Doghouse in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
Homicide,
that's where you started,
the trainer,
right?
I didn't start there. I started at a place called Arena Puerto Rico. It was actually in the basement of a church where the guy had a ring.
Oh, wow.
And chickens. Lots of chickens, right?
Lots of chickens.
I knew it.
In the basement, Homicide used to train people, because Homicide used to wrestle for the promoter at the time that I used to do underground shows in New York, Pedro Rodriguez, and his son, and Homicide wrestled with them. And Homicide's been wrestling 21 years, and people don't know this, because the first 4 or 5 years he spent, he was a 15-year-old kid wrestling illegally in New York, learning his craft from a lot of old school guys that came from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Pampero, Firpo, before he retired, El Salvaje, you know, guys like that. Pete McKay, Jason Knight, when they were very young, they were doing all the kinds of illegal shows, underground shows in New York. And, you know, these guys were like the foundation for what you see in New York now. It, you know, 20 years ago, the New York indie scene was totally different. There was basically like Pro Wrestling USA would run in like Staten Island, and then, mm-hmm, these guys would run smaller shows because the commission at the time was very involved.
Yeah.
You had to be licensed, bonded, and all sorts of stuff, which you still have to do now.
In New York still.
But it's, yeah. But
not
it's
in Jersey.
Not
anymore,
as
though.
Bad. No, no, not in Jersey.
Yeah, but that's like a ripoff. I mean, they charge people to like.
The
get
taxation
a license,
and all that. The license and taxation is ridiculous.
It's a fucking scam.
In New York, that I know of, there's only like a handful of guys with a license. I know Earl Cooter from FTW.
Mm-hmm.
I believe House of Glory, the Maximos, who run the Ludus Wrestling School. You know, those are the... I may be wrong, but I think those are the only guys. FWE, they run Family Wrestling Entertainment.
Right.
Those are the only guys running New York. And JCW will be running in New York, or they just ran in New York. But I actually don't know whose license they used.
Hmm. I wonder if they can get away with running these shows without licenses.
Not in New York. It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Because
they're really strict about that.
It's not only that. The internet will tell you, like, hey, there's a show here. If somebody tips off the commission, you're going to get shut down, and then it's just a big waste.
Forget it. Yeah. It's kind of like the mob. You know, you got to line the pockets of the big bosses. You know, they come in. They need their piece of the pie. You know, you want to run here? Okay. And we'll call it a commission. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's crazy. But then, you know, of course, they bring back the blood New Jersey. Low Life Louie can participate again in matches such as death matches.
You know, in New York, they kind of like let it slide in like 2003. And that's where I popped up in USA Pro. That's basically, mm-hmm, why I came back. And I got to give big thanks to Frank Goodman. He promotes shows in Florida now, but he is, you know, legendary for the 7-hour shows with like 100 big names.
Yes,
but
we were just talking about that last week.
I loved being part of those shows. Those were great. And, you know, he gave me the opportunity to come back. And he's like, he basically didn't put any handcuffs on me. The only thing he said, he's like, don't use anything that explodes, like light tubes and stuff.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys follow the internet a lot. I don't know if you guys know what Goatsy is.
Goatsy?
Of course. Goatsy?
I had a T-shirt with Goatsy drawn
Why?
On the back because I love Goatsy.
What is wrong with you?
Now, there's a lot wrong with me.
I'm not familiar with this.
Yes,
this
I need to be educated by
okay.
the
Can
the
you
gentleman
two
here.
Sick fucks tell me about this?
It's a fella who liked to have his asshole stretched out, and he would insert larger and larger things.
Oh.
So much so that there's a famous picture of him bent over.
Louis on his phone. He's going to pull this up for me.
Grabbing both sides of his sphincter. Not his cheeks, his sphincter, and stretching it.
I actually have the picture on my phone.
I'm going to look just to look.
Don't do it.
Goatsy is one of my heroes. The only time Frank Goodman said, don't do it was when I had the Goatsy shirt. He was like, I have kids in the crowd. Please don't do
that. I'm so glad. That would have been a horrible idea.
That would have been amazing.
It would have been amazing. True.
Phenomenal.
Here's my...
The funny thing is, dude, like, you see Frank Goodman now on Facebook. He's all about his kids in Disney World. That's all he does.
Well, he was about his youngest son was running around at the shows back then, and you got to give credit to Frank Goodman, great dad, always there. His son was always next to him, and now he spends his time with his children. I can't say more about him.
That's cool.
How do you go from a dude with a stretched out asshole right into, this guy's a great dad?
Because
that's not Frank Goodman.
No, I know it's not, but guess what? That picture that you just showed me pushed something out of my memory. And now that's burned into my brain.
Had a spell.
I saw that picture. It was a long time. You guys remember Web TV?
Yes.
The first time I saw that picture was my buddy Danny Yams, and I told him to listen tonight. Danny Yams, if you're listening, thank you for putting me out to go to you, motherfucker.
Because
he sent me that picture, and I opened it with my mother in the room on the Web TV.
Why?
And Goatsy appeared on my 27-inch CRT big tube TV in all his splendor and glory.
All right,
no splendor and glory. It's just a gaping red asshole.
Right, amazing.
You opened the door with Goatsy, so to speak. Are you familiar with Lemon Party?
Yes, I am. Right.
This is like the worst match made in heaven ever. These
the three-way dance.
Well, I use the bathroom. To vomit.
Please don't leave
me. How about it's Meat
like,
Spin?
It's like talking about the
No, that I haven't
laid.
Seen. Oh, put me on.
Meat Spin. It's one gay gentleman on top of another where they're both presenting and facing forward. Like one's sitting on the other one's lap like Santa Claus. And it's an animation where every time the guy at the bottom thrusts, the guy on top sort of spins around. And it's set perfectly where it just goes nonstop. Somebody added a counter to it. And I think when it hits like 30 or 40, it says, it's official. You're gay. Oh, there's tons of them,
dude.
There's
a lot of sick stuff on the internet.
Tons of them.
There was one thing on the internet years ago, and I'm veering away from wrestling because this is...
That's all right.
It's okay. We go all over the place.
I love it. And Danny Yams, again, I love Danny Yams. He's a good friend of mine. He wrestled for a long time. His biggest match was against Bam Bam Bigelow, actually, for USA Pro one time. He sent me a link, and it was four pictures. It was a guy putting rubber bands on his penis. Then it was a guy grabbing a scalpel. Then it was the guy cutting his penis. And then the final picture was the head of his penis on his hand.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the sick Olympics, right?
Yes. No, what's it called? It was called... the BME Olympics, the Body Modification Olympics.
Yes.
Dude, Joe Rogan turned me on to that thing. It's literally just like a 3 or 4 minute video.
Oh, God.
One guy, basically what you said, like ties up his balls and starts sticking needles through his sack. And the other guy takes a hatchet and just starts like whittling away at his dick. And then eventually just, boom, cuts it in half. The most creepy shit. Dude, we got to put a disclaimer on this episode. This is rotten.
Why? No,
people are going to fucking puke.
We got Low Life Louie on. They're going to expect some crazy talk.
Yeah, but I don't think they're expecting us talking about chopping off penis. Like, this is not Valvina shit.
Hey, we're not a bunch of fruitcakes. We don't need a fucking disclaimer, okay? You fucking listen. Hey, this is what it is. It's a podcast. Pause it.
Just let them listen
to fucking, I don't know, fucking Justin Bieber's podcast. Does he have a podcast?
We started with nice gifts.
I don't know. Kevin left. We could have asked him.
We started with nice gifts from the Sign Girls. This is where we wound up.
Good thing you bring up the Sign Girls.
Why, did you tape the Jay Lethal sign back together?
Kevin forgot to tell you.
Oh,
there's two comp tickets at the Garwood show for you. The Mick Foley, Kevin Garifo, Adam show. So just make sure you go and get those tickets.
You're awful. You are.
You ripped up their sign. How am I a dick?
You sent them to Garwood.
And poor Louie over here is going to listen to the show. Your fucking kid sat over here and pretended he was Louis Ramos beginning of the show.
Louis, that might be the only part of the show you can play for your kids.
No. Oh, yeah. My kids have seen me, you know, get really nasty and go
crazy. What's that like?
You want to know what's like? My son's first live wrestling match watching Daddy was Daddy locked in a steel cage with New Jack.
Oh my God.
And my son was about four rows back with my wife and my brother-in-law. And they tell me he was nervous. He tells me he loved it. I don't know who to believe because my son has been to a few matches after that.
Yeah.
Or I've done the color gimmick and he loves it. He might get a little scared. Oh shit, Daddy's going to die. But he does love wrestling. Like I said, Royal Rumble, he's up with from beginning to end. WrestleMania from beginning to end.
Yeah, but Royal Rumble's a little different than you and New Jack locked in a cage.
I mean, I'd rather watch that.
I would too, but I wouldn't sit my kid next to me, though, I don't think.
The kid
cried during Iron Man 3. I had to take him home.
The kid gets it.
Do you strictly keep it WWE, or do you give him whatever you can find?
Here's IWA, kids, have fun.
Yes, I've shown my son IWA, Mid-South, IWA Japan, Jun Kasai on the YouTube. Stuff that I've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shoot. And, you know, maybe I am a bad father, but my son has seen a clip of me getting a dildo stuffed in my mouth. I just hope he doesn't go back to school and tell his friends this.
Show and tell.
This is my dad.
Disclaimer, sexy episode.
Yeah. Sexy episode. I want to go back to you.
Name of the episode, sexy
episode.
You
and New Jack in a cage. A lot of people, you hear a lot of different stories about what it's like to work with New Jack. Some say he'll treat you right. Some say if he doesn't like you, he's going to be fucking awful to you.
And you know what? On that day, it was me and Monster Mac working against New Jack. And he was in a bad mood. And him and Monster Mac ended up having a problem.
Oh,
but
no.
But after Monster Mac left the ring, me and Jack in the ring finished the match. And no problem. I have never had a problem with New Jack. He has always treated me with respect. I didn't see him for many years, and when he saw me, he gave me a big hug, chased me around with a knife because I had made the joke.
Jesus.
We appeared on MSNBC back in 1999.
Yes, yes. I remember this.
Where me and New Jack were locked in a cage the first time, and I joke at the end of the video where I said I'm going to pull out a knife against New Jack next time we meet because I'm going to need it. And he was like, oh, you're going to pull out a knife on me? And we chase each other around. He gives him a big hug, kiss on the forehead. And I've worked with him, I'd say, about 10, 11 times. Always fun, always bloody, never a problem. Working with New Jack was probably one of the highlights of my career.
Did you ever feel like things could go wrong, like, at any moment? Or has it always just been cool with him?
The first time I worked with him, I had heard all these stories.
Oh, God.
And I was a referee for USA Pro. We were in North Bergen, New Jersey, Schitzen Park Ballroom. It was the summer of 98. I forgot who New Jack was supposed to wrestle, if it was Magic or somebody else. He was supposed to wrestle somebody with a mask.
Okay.
And the person that wore the mask didn't want the mask to get ruined. So there was an argument, and the match got canceled, but New Jack was already there. They came up to Homicide, and they asked Homicide if he wanted to do it. Homicide, being the team player and always the A-plus guy that he is, said, yeah. So it was me, Fat Frank, Pierre Pilger, who helped run JAP, and New Jack. It was Homicide, Fat Frank, Pierre, New Jack, and Homicide in the ring.
And
in the back. Fufu was at the show, but not there. We went into a room. We discussed the match. I was going to be the ref because I was a heel ref at the time.
Yeah.
New Jack goes out there, beats the crap out of Homicide because Homicide was still not a name back then. And also proceeds to beat the living shit out of the ref. Hangs me over the top rope with the noose he used to carry in ECW.
Oh, God.
Leaves me for dead. And then at the end of the match, he actually breaks a metal crutch on my back that left a scar on my elbow to this day. He destroyed my elbow with the metal crutch.
Before you go,
I was just going to make a quick... For someone who's done so many death matches, the memory, the dates, I'm fascinated by it.
And you know what? You don't look like you've been through hell. You know, like, I'd expect you to be a lot more beat up looking.
Well, everybody looks great wearing a Shining Wizard shirt.
Thank you.
I'll attribute it
to
the
lucky that I've had a lot of time off in between, because there was intervals where I was out of wrestling for a few months, like 8-9 months. And that was some of it by choice. Like, when my son was born, I took a few months off. When I first had moved to Jersey in 2010, I took a few months off. And then in 2012, we had done that match with New Jack in 2011, the cage match I just mentioned. And I stopped. I didn't get any bookings and any phone calls. You know, there's a lot of guys on Facebook that they'll go, hey, I'm not doing anything this weekend. Promoters book me.
You don't do
I'm
that.
I'm not that dude, man.
No.
If I never work a show again, I'm happy with what I've done. I'll never go out there and ask somebody. Like, if I know somebody that's working the show, I'll be like, hey, is anybody that you know working the show? I'll go to the show, whatever. But I'll never ask anybody, like, outright, hey, or put it out there like that.
Yeah, yeah. Per se. And I see that a lot now.
But I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just, hey, you're trying to get work. I don't see anything wrong with it. I love that, as a matter of fact. But
that's just not you.
No, it's just not me. Like I said, you know, I love being who I am. Like, there's the big conundrum. On last March, just the March that just passed, I wrestled Jay Lover. I did a death match for WPW in the casino in New York. It was about 800 paid, about 200 comps. That's
right.
The show. You guys listen to Kevin Matthews' podcast?
Situation with Stryker.
Yeah, he got shit canned. And now I understand what happened with Kevin, and I hope if Kevin's listening, I look forward to working with him Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a bit.
1 second, yeah. But I was there, and I just kept to myself with my opponent, Jay Lover, who I've known.
That's
Jay Lover was one of the first guys
back.
Who started with me, who helped me
yeah.
when I was starting. And I kept to myself. Me and him went out there, did a death match. The next day, I'm sitting at home posting a picture on Facebook playing with my four-year-old daughter. That's me in real life. Like, I have to turn off the hardcore wrestler part when I'm home with my kids and whatever.
Right.
But, and that's why I'm not as beat up as I would like to be, because sometimes I do have to draw a line somewhere to say, hey, I can't do this. I hold a full-time job. I'm the head of security in a building. The first people you see walk into this building in Midtown Manhattan in the heart of Times Square is me.
And they don't want to see you all banged
up. They actually
up.
Don't mind. It's actually funny, because when people see me like Band-Aid or like the big crazy glue scab.
Yeah.
Hey, Louie, what happened? What? I was wrestling. And oh, tell us all about it.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Everybody's cool.
There was
about
a drill.
There was this dildo.
And a dildo.
Yeah. It was a naked Terry Funk, a dildo, and a drill.
A new Jack chasing him with
day.
A knife.
Figure it out.
You know, and it's just, I've been blessed, man.
Yeah.
You know, like doing this is like just cherries. Like this podcast here, I want to thank you guys. I'll shoot right now. It's like cherries on the career that, like you know, sadly, I'll bring up the Ultimate Warrior. One day, if Low Life Louie, the person's still alive, Low Life Louie, the wrestler, may not be, you know. That part of me will be gone, because either I won't be able to do it, or I can't do it, or I just won't get called anymore to do any more shows. So
right.
I got to live with that. So I'm happy with what I've done.
Yeah. And you've done a lot. And it's just so interesting, because we've had a lot of people on this cache, but we've never had anyone that's done what you've done and worked with the people that you've worked with. And it's a completely different dynamic. And I just, like, I'm being flooded with questions right now in my head. And I just want to go back to New Jack for a minute, because it's just so interesting to me. The kind of person he is. When you're in the ring with New Jack, is anything, I'm going to shoot here, is anything called, or is it just kind of like, go with it? Just
New
fucking
Jack,
go with it.
The first few times I worked with him, he was like, I'll see you out there, kid. I went out there. I knew what I had to do. When we were out there, and, you know, there's no reason to hide it anymore, he would say, get your stuff. I'd go about getting my stuff, doing my stuff. And it would be a nice bloody event, and people would go home happy. I'll tell you the date exactly. It was June 19th, 2004. Frank Goodman had booked a firehouse to do a wrestling show, and nobody wanted to wrestle New Jack. Or not that nobody wanted to wrestle New Jack. The guy that was supposed to wrestle New Jack backed out.
Fear?
New Jack actually went up to Frank Goodman and said, I'll work with Louie. Put Louie in the ring with me.
Oh, wow.
And to me, that was a big honor.
Yeah.
And, awesome. Of course, New Jack beat the fuck out of me. He pulled out this claw that looked like Freddy Krueger,
oh,
Wolverine's
fucking
hand.
Fucking Wolverine thing. Oh,
carved my
dick.
Head up with it. My girlfriend at the time, who was now my wife, unbeknownst to me at the time, was pregnant with my son and is sitting in the back row screaming because she's seen me do this kind of stuff, but never to that degree.
She didn't stand up and go, you're going to be a father.
No, we didn't know.
Oh,
we didn't know.
God. Holy shit.
Is anyone yelling, ring the bell, he's 17?
Ring the bell, he's 17. That claw was insane. I mean, okay, you go back, you were experimenting with the barbed wire. You know, you throw everything in the trash. You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the wrestling thing. Give me the barbed wire. The first thing you had, the first time you had color in a match, who was it against? And did you do the honors yourself, or did you ask them to do the honors for you?
The first time I had color in a match, I did it in some stupid battle royal when I was just learning how to wrestle.
Wow.
At the old Arena Puerto Rico gym that I was telling you about in the basement during one of the underground shows. I didn't know anything about how to do it, except the fact that you cut yourself with a razor blade. So I go in there and I get a carpet blade, like the gem carpet blades.
Dude, those
and I tape it to the all the way to the tip, and I stab myself with it and just get a little gash, and not much blood came out, so I was really upset. Years later, Jason Knight, and big ups to Jason Knight, who at 50 years old looks in the best shape of his life. I worked with him last October for the Jerry to Disco show for the memorial for his father, and they were raising funds for that little boy, Cole, and I hope he's doing well. Cole Rapini. I got a chance to work with Jason Knight again. Jason Knight, in 1998, sat with me and Jay Lover in the locker room at the Charity Hall and showed us how to properly make a blade.
So and he's the one that said this is how to do it.
He taught me how to do it, and from there, guys like Danny D'Amato, guys like Jay Lover, Homicide, whenever I said that if they're going to do that, they have asked me, hey, man,
show me how.
Because I went from learning it to, I perfected it.
No kidding.
I perfected it.
I just find that so interesting that, first of all, I would find that so scary. That takes a lot of balls to do. When you did it in the battle royale, were you nervous about doing it? Or you're fuck it,
I was
just gonna
so
do it.
Amped that I did
excited.
It. I was a mark, a green mark, didn't know anything. So I was just like.
Now I'm looking at your forehead. It's not like Abdullah the Butcher. It's not like Dusty Rhodes. What do you do to take care of it, after a show?
Crazy glue. Crazy glue has been my friend, and it's been the facilitator of me keeping my nice job in Times Square, Manhattan. Because if I have a big scar or something, I just pinch it, crazy glue it. 2 days later, the scab falls off. Little Neosporin, and thankfully, no terrible, terrible scarring. I do have one that runs on my bald spot here down. That's Abdullah the Butcher. The last time we wrestled, he cut me with the beer bottle. He did the old, it's a Bruce Lee movie where he breaks the bottle and...
Oh, my God.
He slices me with the bottle.
Wow, you've been in the ring. I remember I read that you've been in the ring with Abdullah the Butcher.
3 times, yeah.
And that's the guy that you, watched on TV and said, I want to be like him.
Yes.
First of all, I've never heard anyone say that, watching TV and go, I want to be like Abdullah the Butcher. I find that very interesting.
Oh. You don't hide hammers under your tits, do you?
I can do it, too. Really? I'm a C-cup almost, brother.
Go get a hammer.
Get a hammer.
We saw Goatsy. Isn't that enough?
So working with Abdullah, what was that like? I mean, that's just
the first time I had the honor of sharing the ring with Abdullah was in Ring of Honor, Homicide.
That's a match that you wouldn't think about having.
It wasn't
a
match the first time. Homicide was doing the blow off for the first year of Ring of Honor. The second year, it's called Night of the Butcher, December 7th, 2002. The rec center in Philadelphia. It was Homicide and Abdullah versus the Carnage Crew. The big blow-off to the Carnage Crew Homicide feud. At the end of the match, guys run out, and they needed one person to stay in the ring and to be butchered by Abdullah, literally.
Here comes Louis.
Homicide walks up to Abdullah, grabs me by the hand, sits me in front of Abdullah. I freeze like a 9-year-old girl looking at Justin Bieber.
Or Matt looking at Justin Bieber.
And I go, yes, sir.
Love the Biebs.
And he sits there. He's like, you're going to be the one in the ring with me, last champ? And he's smoking a cigar, drinking a cup of coffee. I go, yes, sir. It'll be an honor. He's like, just listen to the Butcher, champ. So the spot happens. I go, you. I face him. I do a Hogan Mark spot. I point at him. He blocks my punch. Hits me with the fork.
Oh my
I do
God.
What I got to do. And then he starts hitting me with that fork, hard, in the head.
Oh.
In the head. Because I told him, I said, whatever you need to do, sir. And I carry the picture in my wallet.
Yeah.
Because that picture meant so much to me. I was a disgusting mess.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And then Mafia, who was here, who I love Mafia, they do the old tag team spot. Mafia puts me in the figure four. Monster Mac hits the frog splash. And then they beat me with a chair until my elbow's like mad swollen. And then they throw me out of the ring.
Jesus.
And I'm bleeding like in the outside the ring. I'm laying there and people are taking pictures of me, unbeknownst to me, because I was so bloody. It looked like a murder scene.
Wow, the Crimson Mask.
Oh, it was
fantastic.
Crimson body scene.
Now,
Jesus.
Fantastic.
Being in the ring with Abdullah and looking back on it after everything that's come out, I mean, was that ever a concern in your mind that the bloodletting might lead to something more than just you wearing the Crimson Mask?
You know, a long time ago, everybody said, oh, this guy can get this or this guy has that or whatever. And at that time, I didn't have a wife. I didn't have no kids. I was from girl to girl. You know, when you're single, you're young, you don't have that responsibility.
Right. Holler.
Yep. Yep.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, that wasn't a concern. If I picked something up, I would have hoped that it wasn't something that was bad.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I didn't.
Like a fat girl?
It's a need. It's a need to know basis.
Yes.
So,
basically.
So, I ended up just doing these matches without fearing that repercussion. Now, I go back and I go, shit, you know, something can happen. And, you know, you take time and you worry about who you work with.
Yeah.
And that's a let's shoot here. That's the reason why last year the match with Matt Tremont was postponed. And he's put it out there after, so I can put it out there as well. And Matt, I love you wherever you are. Matt Tremont, one of the nicest, greatest guys in this business. I love him to death. He had a false positive for Hep C.
Wow, scary.
He's battled pancreatitis since he was a teenager.
Oh, my brother's got that. That's fucking awful. Oh.
Yes, and the pancreatitis
fucks with the levels.
Yes, and it came back as a positive for Hep.
Oh.
And when he had been tested to do the tournament in Delaware, the TOD that year,
yeah,
he had to pull out of that. He pulled out of our match. Luckily, it was just the pancreatitis acting up, and it's not Hep, but he had to make sure that it wasn't.
Yeah,
and he was the ultimate stand-up guy by walking up to me and telling me, hey, you know, I can't do the match. And when he explained why, I gave him all the credit in the world.
That's a big move, man.
That's a very big move.
You know. That's I would have probably done the same thing because, like I said, you know, you worry about the guy's future.
Yeah.
And he knows, he's like, yo, I know you have kids. And, you know, if it would have been me 10 years before, no kids, no girlfriend, nothing, I would have said, Matt, let's go. Fuck it. Whatever.
Wow. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Just
don't care. I was just at that point in my life, I was to the mindset where the wrestling came first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have my children, my wife, my home.
Priorities
I take care of my mother.
Different.
It's a lot different.
It's a lot different now.
You know, sometimes I am afraid of, shit, what if I get hurt? But the call of the wrestling sometimes is strong. Like, I'll shoot with you guys on Saturday. My daughter sat there and cried, Daddy, I don't want you to go.
Oh, wow.
Daddy, you're going to bleed. Because she was at the last show she went to, I was bleeding.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And she's like, Daddy, I don't want you to go. Daddy, I don't want you to bleed. I'm like, honey, I'll come back in one piece. I promise. The next morning, she runs up to me. She's like, Daddy, you okay? Blah, blah, blah. I took her to Walmart, bought her a Frozen doll, blah, blah, blah.
That fucking Frozen is everywhere.
That struggle, that push, that pull, especially with your children, I mean, does it weigh on you when you leave and you go and you do what you have to do? I mean, it's got to be hard.
Yeah, especially when the kind of matches that you go and do. It's not just a typical, I'm going to go out and have a typical professional wrestling match, which is also dangerous.
Yes.
It's always dangerous.
I got hurt doing a tag match on Saturday. I have bruised ribs, bruised sternum. Hip is all messed up. If it's not well, I'm going to have to go to the doctor before Sunday. I have the match with Kevin on Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't want to do a match with Kevin where I'm half-assed.
Right.
That I will tell you right now. So... You know, I'm waiting to see what the doctor says.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to go soon if the pain doesn't subside. Because I'll go out there. Jimmy Snook, I refereed for Jimmy Snook one time in 1998.
Okay, brother.
And he said that. And he also said.
I killed my girlfriend.
He said.
She fell, brother.
Somewhere in the crowd.
I was taking a piss, brother.
Somewhere in the crowd. there's somebody that hasn't seen the Superfly live, brother.
Brother.
So he went out there and he would try his best.
Yeah.
So I've always lived by that. So especially with, like I said, let's shoot with a guy like Kevin. I saw Kevin get it. The first time Kevin Matthews got into a wrestling ring, I was there. I saw him. So I wouldn't want to cheat him. He's a guy that has surpassed me. Like I said before, I have no talent. My ability was the ability to absorb punishment and heart. That's how I've gotten by in this wrestling thing.
It works.
Not by lifting weights or... And you know what? I harmed myself. A lot of it... I tell my wife this sometimes, and if I start crying, this may be a first, you're a big, strong guy crying. I blame myself a lot of it because I pigeonholed myself into the hardcore hole, and you live with your choices. That's number one. And number two, if I wouldn't have been a fat, lazy fuck that lost his battle to Doritos and Chips Ahoy and Four Locos, I may have done something more. I may have gone to Japan or whatever. As I'm older now, I get these little opportunities like wrestling against Kevin, a guy who's so much potential, WWE contract he had. You know, he's top guy in the indies right now. In my opinion, and, you know, PWS gets, you know, they're outdrawing everybody, and he's one of the top guys there, so that has weight on it. I'm out there to do like a handful of matches like this, like the one against Matt Tremont, because I have something to prove that I could still do this. Because like I said, I'm getting older. I didn't take care of myself. I still don't go to the gym and lift weights and live like a wrestler should. I live more like an old bar fighter type guy. Right. I pick up the big beer, I swig it down, I get dressed, and I go out there and I turn the switch on and I kick ass, and you know, I could absorb a good beating, and that's, I think, why I'm still here.
Yeah, but
yeah, man.
And for us, we've been wrestling fans for so long, it's not about going to the gym and doing all this shit. It's the size of your heart. And you've never heard anyone say anything bad about Louis Ramos, who I'm sitting on the couch with right now.
Absolutely.
And
not.
It shows throughout the interview and the last couple hours that we've been talking with you that you have an enormous heart. And I think that alone puts you above all these other guys. You may not go to Japan, you may not do this, but you know what? Your daughter thinks you're an amazing father, your wife loves you to death, and there's so many people in this industry that you've impacted, and that means more than looking like fucking like 88
Hulk Hogan?
88 Ultimate Warrior. Like, there's more to that. Like, that's more important.
That was the whole thing, you know. Another moment that as you mentioned the 88 Hogan and 88 Abdullah. Another moment in my career that sticks out, and I don't know if you guys remember this. I'm sure you guys do. AWA, Superfly Snuka, who we just mentioned, wrestling Colonel DeBeers. Colonel DeBeers pile drives him outside the ring and makes him bleed. At the time, I was 11, 12 years old. I call my brother over. I'm like, look at this. I pile drove guy is now bleeding, and I have always wanted to bleed. So my brother stands up on the radiator in my old apartment in Brooklyn, old die-cast radiators. And he pile drives me.
Oh, no.
And we botch it. Lewis. Nothing happens. So then I go, you got to do it again because I'm not bleeding.
Holy shit.
The second time I land on my head, and I have the scar right there.
Oh, my God.
I land on the radiator, and blood starts coming out.
Wow.
And I start rubbing my head, and I see blood pouring out of my head, and I start cheering. Yeah, you know, like, yes.
Like Daniel Bryan?
Yes. Yes.
My mother walks into the bedroom and proceeds to beat the ever-living crap out of me for doing the shit on television.
God.
Wow. That's all. See, I can...
See,
I can relate.
Don't try it at home. Things are for you.
Yes. Yes.
We go back to earlier. I was talking about my love for ECW. The biggest Sabu mark ever. We used to backyard wrestling, and I'm not afraid to say
so
it.
So did I.
And I did. I had the fucking, my shirt. I made like a fucking white t-shirt. I cut the sleeves off, and I write like, Sabu is God.
Yep.
There was a point in my life, I worked at a lumberyard. I would steal the X-Acto knives, and I would go home. I would go in the basement. I'd pump like 60 pounds. Got to get jacked. Go in the bathroom and then try and give myself scars a la Sabu.
Wow.
Like a crazy, crazy white person.
I love it. I love it.
And that is what you are.
Oh, God
damn.
Oh,
that's fantastic. That's awesome.
That is why my arm looks the way it does, you know, from getting caught in the barbed wire and doing all.
See, that barbed wire, that's not a work. That's real barbed wire.
Yes.
That is real shit.
One time in my life, and I'm not going to say I worked the barbed wire, I bent it. And that was the last time I wrestled a hardcore match, like I mentioned with Jay Lover last month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had this, my buddy Danny Ams, again, I mentioned him. We saw it on Amazon. It was a giant fist that's used to hold like big beers like this.
Yeah.
So I came up with the stupid idea when he got it. I'm wrapping this shit in barbed wire.
After you mentioned goats, I was worried about the giant fist. And
yeah, like Matt and I just looked at each other when you said the giant fist.
It didn't
Amazon.
Go that direction.
I've been looking for the Borat fist. Not, was it the Borat fist? Where he goes, the man who tried to put rubber fist in my anus was gay. You guys ever saw Borat?
Yeah, I saw the movie
he's dancing
Borat.
In the Wait. Little gay... There's a part where they're doing the gay parade in Washington.
Yes,
and they're waving that fist. I want one of those for one of my matches.
Jesus. I have to go on eBay tonight. When's your birthday? I'm going to hook you up.
So I found this other fist, and I said, I'm wrapping it in barbed wire. And one of the barbs, as I stuck it in, because it was like foamy,
yeah.
I stuck two heavy strands of barbed wire in. One of the barbs was sticking out, like, real ominously. So I kind of bent it in.
Yeah.
But it was still real barbed wire because I got scratched up right in the top of the head real good. So
that'll do it. That'll do it. Yeah, they don't use fake shit. When you see barbed wire, that's real barbed wire.
Just watch the people's clothes. And you'll see how the clothes get pinched and pulled.
Pulled, yeah.
Yeah.
Torn.
Yeah. That's crazy.
All the time Sabu tore his pants. You watched the match with Terry Funk, the Born to be Wired.
That was my first ECW show live.
He rips his pants. His pants are torn. His arm is torn. He's taping it to finish.
Terry Funk almost died.
Yeah, there was a lot of blood. Match.
Third row, and we sold our fourth ticket to some Chinese guy who fell asleep during the fucking Sabu barbed wire Terry Funk match.
Maybe he was Chinese. Maybe he was from Japan, and he already saw shit worse than that, and he was just like, whatever.
That match is fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's legendary.
You could turn the mic off. There's a button.
That's all right. I'll get him. That helps. While he's gone, do you want to plug the Scott Epstein show for Sunday?
April 13th, Garfield, New Jersey.
My old stomping grounds, by the way, the Garfield Boys and Girls Club. I used to go there as a kid,
please,
man.
Please show up with the mullet and the IROC, please. Like
no,
a throwback.
That was when I was older. I'm talking about when I was a kid, like maybe like 7 or 8. I used to go there.
Love the IROC.
There's a Jimmy Jim's, I don't know if it's still there. It's like a little like hot dog burger kind of joint down the street. Where you can actually get some good food. So if you're looking to get there, have some lunch. Foot. I know, it's adorable.
Yeah, so Scott Epstein show, Garfield, New Jersey.
Yes, Sunday. Opens at 11 for autographs.
11 a.m. for autographs.
12, the ring action starts.
We are hosting Jay Lethal. And by we, right now, I think it's just Eddie.
Yeah.
I have to run it by the
Eddie
the
can give him the 16
wife.
Pieces of the sign.
I can't do that.
I will. I'll be more than happy to show up. And I'll be like, I'll be like, hey. These two dragons made the sign for you. Here you go. Five dragons. Yes,
five dragons.
Five whole dragons.
Because they fit into five dragons.
But it's a free show.
Stacked show.
Free show. $20 donation is highly recommended.
Yes, please.
If you want to
donate
more
if you can, yeah, of
please
course.
Do so. It's for Scott Epstein. Excuse me. Tony.
Whoa, what is fucking Epstein Barr? That's
Tony,
a Sopranos reference.
Tony Atlas. Loie Lulife.
Lowy Lulife.
Maybe I should name the episode that. Lowy Lulife.
Low Life, Louis Ramos against Kevin Matthews.
Not at work. Don't feel so bad.
Louis the Louse.
Louis the Louse.
Lowy Lulife. Lowy Lulife.
Tony Atlas, Jay Lethal, Bonesaw.
Ivan Koloff.
Koloff.
Yeah.
Bill Apta.
Wait, is Baron Von Raschke going to be at that one?
No. That's the Legends
that's
of
later
the
on. Okay, never mind. My bad.
Yeah, Tony Atlas is wrestling
Bill
the goon.
Bill Apta's hosting,
the goon.
Isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, Kevin Matthews, Loie Lulife.
Loie Lulife. It sounds like a 70s like disco Louis. Song.
Yes.
Loie Lulife.
Why is the heat on?
Because my wife is frigid.
Your wife is frozen.
Oh, boo.
Let it go.
There we go.
Oh, no, my daughter's going to start singing that. I love it. You know, I'm glad you guys plugged that, and I want to give big ups. You know, I'm going to mention something wrestling-related. And I'm going to shoot real good with this. You know, As long as you keep your pants on. It's no, 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 yeah. No goatee for today. You know, a lot of people are in the business, and you know what I hate? I'm going to tell you what I really hate. I hate all this bullshit about indie wars and this guy can't work here, this guy can't work there, bullshit. You know what? The wrestling community, us as wrestling fans, us as wrestlers, the wrestling community as a whole gets enough bullshit.
He said as a whole.
From... Asshole, yeah. we get enough bullshit from the regular media, like guys like assholes like Phil Mushnick.
Oh, God.
And all these
yeah.
other.
He's still alive.
Cocksucker. Yeah, he's still alive.
I was gonna say
I'm sure he'll be making fun of the Warrior death tomorrow on the fucking
probably.
New York Post. That
oh,
piece of
another
garbage.
Another wrestler dying before yeah, his time, yada
exactly.
yada.
Exactly.
He was rough in the 90s.
He's still rough, that piece of shit.
I hate him.
But anyway, you know, it should have been him.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Or Tony.
Yeah, or me.
Come on.
Whatever.
You know, enough is enough, man. You know, we're all a family. We should all take care of each other.
Exactly.
This Phil Ray.
All this crap of if you work for you, you won't work for me. If you work for this one, you work for that one. Look, PWS is outdrawing everybody.
Yeah.
Much love to them. I'm working for JCW in 2 weeks, and I know they don't really get along. I'm working for JCW in a couple of weeks. They have a bunch of great young talent, guys like Kyle the Beast, Eric Andretti, Too Hot Steve Scott.
Awesome. Oh, Too Hot Steve Scott.
I like Danny DeMonto.
Too Hot Selfies. Okay, are
Steve Mack pops up on those shows. Homicide. They get legends like Jake the Snake, Demolition, D'Lo Brown's going to be there, Kenilworth. They have Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk coming up in May. They're booking Matt Tremont, a guy that I worked with on Saturday, Jeff Cannonball, another big stocky yep. dude that can work his ass off, Stylin' Brandon Kirk, you know, tons of young, hungry guys, the Sons of Kamala. One of them actually was also really? One of the guys who helped train me, a guy named Lathan Tower of Torture from back in the day.
Oh, my God.
He is now
yes.
back as That's... one of the Sons of Kamala in JCW.
Wow. So, oh, no, here we go.
Big
Matt's
ups
got a question.
To him. Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do these.
No.
Dude, I have to.
What?
I know.
Do the Sons of Kamala, do they all have their feet?
Yes, they do. For now. For now.
He laughed.
He said,
he laughed.
For now. As of today.
Well, the Sons of Bear may no longer have their feet
soon. You
know what?
Louis, I'm gonna shoot bear? Back with you because I hear what you're saying. And it's a shame that what happened with certain promoters pulling down posters of other people.
I've heard that, and that's nonsense. And if
that,
you know what, if you're guilty of that, you're an asshole. And I don't care yeah. if I'm going to work for you or not. If you are guilty of that, you're an asshole.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
You know what? And if
no
you never
sense.
Book me again, I don't give a shit. And you know what? I'm not here to blow up smoke of PWS or JCW or UWA, who I worked for Saturday. Bunch of hungry local guys from Jersey. I'll give you a few names: Sean Damage, McNellis, John Bowes, Eric Corvis, who used to wrestle as Roach in JAP. He's there. Kyle the Beast came out of there. John Rome, Brandon the Bull, TKO, Joey Adams, me and Monster Mac, Magic still there. Magic, a legend in the area.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not blowing up smoke anybody. There's great shows from top to bottom, On Point, On Point Wrestling, JCW, FWE, PWS. If you never fucking book me again, I could care less. I wish as a person, as a wrestling fan and a wrestler, that this shit would stop. Because I love wrestling. And the better that wrestling does, the more fans PWS draws, the more fans that other feds are going to draw.
Yeah.
Good
and
point.
That's a good fucking thing.
That is a good
great
thing.
Point.
They just have to stop the baby shit of, oh, this is my territory. I'm going to rip down your poster. Because that's going to lead... To problems. And then when there's problems, that means guys are going to lose out on work. And that's unfortunate. You know, especially since I think we're on the verge
of something,
of something big.
I know. Eddie's been touting that, and I can't disagree with him.
I mean, you look at the indies now. Even every organization you mentioned, these guys are so talented. And they have the vets that can still go. They have guys like Mac and Louie. And it's incredible time to be a wrestling fan because there is a lot happening.
Yes.
A lot happening yes. right now.
Big things, man. Big things. And hopefully our friend Lowlife, what did Matt say? I want to stutter like him. I'm saying
Louie
right.
Lowlife? No, nobody's
saying Louie Lowlife.
Louie Lowlife.
Louie, we're going to be wrapping up. Is there anything else that you'd like to let everybody know? Anything you want to plug? Anybody else you want to thank?
Just give me like 2 minutes.
All right. Well, while
you plug the Scott Epstein Memorial, I want to plug JCW, April 26th, Kenilworth, New Jersey. Demolition, D'Lo Brown, Velvet Sky, D'Amato, Low Life Louie versus Kyle the Beast.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah. Doorway to Hell match.
Phenomenal.
He is phenomenal. I give him a lot of props.
Holy shit.
Big young guy, strong as a bull, and I wish him the best.
He does a standing shooting star.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
for a guy that weighs about 260 pounds.
Yeah.
250, 260.
Solid.
Are you big on the Facebook?
Yes.
MySpace?
I'm big on the Facebook, bro.
MySpace.
I'm huge on the Facebook.
Where can people follow you at?
It's Facebook.com/LowLifeLouieRamos.
How about Twitter? Anything on Twitter?
I used to have a Twitter. I forgot how to get on it.
That's all right. Check him out on Facebook.
Facebook, that's it for me, basically.
I don't blame you.
I put my stuff up, and even if I'm not on shows, like PWS had the Belleville show.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I wasn't on it. I plugged the shit out of it.
That was
because I believe in the product. I believe in good wrestling. I wasn't on the JCW show in the Elks Lodge in New York, which isn't the real Elks Lodge, but it's right next door to it.
Right.
I plugged the shit out of that.
It's like the Rotary Club.
You know, On Point Wrestling, May 17th, Tremont Ramos, Pain and Agony Death Match.
Very nice.
And, you know, balls just to thank wall. A few people, first of all, I want to thank you guys.
No, thank you. This is our pleasure.
It's an
You're
honor.
Welcome.
An honor to be here. I want to thank my wife. I don't know if she got the podcast on and is listening, but thank you for putting up with me for 11 years already.
Thank you, Mrs. Ramos.
Yes,
and
thank you.
For giving me my two beautiful children, one of which or both of which will probably one day be at WrestleMania.
That's awesome.
And
I love
not
that.
As fans. My son went last year, and hopefully my son and my daughter, who's already doing rolls on the floor.
Awesome.
Maybe both
as
of them.
As long as they're not pile driving each other on the radiators, you're
I don't
good
know.
To go, man.
You'll Maybe never know what you come home to at the Ramos house.
A few guys in the business.
New Jack and New Jack's chasing Terry Funk with a dildo. Yeah.
Or goats, one of the two.
Goatsy, get it right.
Whatever.
Man.
I don't know the fucking name of some gaping asshole, dude.
Jesus, really?
Just a few guys in this business, and first and foremost, Homicide. Without him, like I said, there is no me. There is no New York indie scene. And we call him the Godfather, and much love to him. Steve Mack. Without my brother Steve Mack, I wouldn't have come out of retirement. And I love you, bro. I thank you. My buddy Danny Yams at work. Hanson, who you guys had on here. I love Hanson to death. Another one of the real... real honest guys in this business, and he should have gotten a better break than he did with that whole Ring of Honor shit. He deserved a lot more. I know that a lot of you guys probably know Ref Bennett and are friends with Ref Bennett.
Yeah.
You know, Ref Hansen 100 times better, and that's not taking away anything from Bennett. Hansen to me, and I've put this up on his Facebook, when Ref Hansen was the third man in the ring, you knew the match was important. And
he was like the Earl Hebner of the indie scene.
That's a big prop,
for the longest
man. That's
time.
A big prop right there.
Yeah.
I want to thank Dave Swan and everybody at UWA Elite for, you know, helping me, you know, basically be part of my comeback. JCW for using me, and I want to thank Eric for bringing me back to PWS. I actually worked for PWS once in 2008.
Yeah.
I got to work with Monster Mac and Drake Younger in a three-way.
Awesome.
Eddie Kingston was supposed to be part of that match, but couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And, I hold that opportunity near and dear. It was my first time working at the ECPW arena. And, it was the only time I ever got a chance to work with Drake. And even though it wasn't a death match, I think me and Drake would have torn the fucking roof off the place in a death match.
Oh, I'm sure.
I still had a great time, and a lot of props to Drake Younger for signing. Much respect to him.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big deal.
It's our buddy.
You know, many
guests.
Guys. Danny D'Amato, you know, he's helped me out a lot lately.
That's
Gotta
cool.
give him his props. You know, and anybody that's out there, like you guys, promoting wrestling, you know, putting wrestling above everything else. You know, you guys had a guy like Pat Buck here, and he says he's an angry person. But you know what? He is promoting wrestling. And he is putting wrestling before himself and before everything else.
I've always said he just needs a hug.
We need more
Once
people.
In a while.
We need more people like the Pat Bucks and the Erics and the Riccios. And even though they might not get along, these people are putting wrestling in the forefront. And they're giving us quality shows. And without quality shows, Are we going to find the next WWE star? Where are we going to find them from? Right. If we're going to just rely on NXT, we're going to get the same cookie cutter bullshit that we've had.
Exactly.
Can't the indies are full of young, up-and-coming talent, all different in their own way.
And look at WWE right now. Look at the guys that are the most over. It's the indie guys.
Cesaro and Bryan.
It's the indie
two guys that worked everywhere. Yeah. Two guys that worked everywhere against everybody.
Moxley, Ambrose.
Ambrose. Rollins.
Yeah. Rollins, yeah.
To this day.
Pat Patterson.
I'd love to work Pat Patterson.
I know you would.
The greatest. I'd end up looking like Goatsy. The greatest wrestling match to this day that I ever saw live and that I was in the crowd for. Final Battle, Ring of Honor, 2006, Homicide versus American Dragon, when Homicide finally breaks through after 4 years to win the ROH title. It gives me goosebumps just talking about it. The atmosphere, the moment, the crowd, the work rate of the match, just
phenomenal.
Anybody who's a wrestling fan should watch that whole show. That show also had the Kings of Wrestling, Hero Claudio, who's now Cesaro, against the Briscoes, and that match again.
Oh, my God.
Fucking ridiculously good.
Awesome. I could only imagine. Yeah. This is a show that I have not seen. I didn't see the Homicide match. I'm going to check it out, and I haven't seen the Kings of Wrestling versus the Briscoes either yet.
Final Battle 2006. Show. Fucking phenomenal.
Matt, you probably have that.
I do. I have all the ROH comp DVDs.
Well, when I return your year one DVD, which I keep forgetting to bring you.
Oh, I'm waiting.
Because Ref Hansen's all over that DVD too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's phenomenal.
He was one of the ones that started it.
Yeah.
I talked to Steve Mack the other day, and the first thing that people saw at the first ever Ring of Honor show was Monster Mack and Mafia versus the Christopher Street Connection. Yes. Another two guys that I'd like to thank. Mace, who is my son's godfather, and that's a shoot. And Buffy, who is no longer wrestling, but another pair of guys who was instrumental, these two guys in starting with me. And we had each other's backs coming up. You know, another quick little tidbit, the gym where we came out of, which was that little arena, Puerto Rico, I mentioned earlier with Homicide training us, at that year in 1996-97, there was 211 kids training there. Only five survived.
Jesus.
Those five were low-key, Monster Mac, Mace, Buffy, the two Christopher Street Connection, and myself.
Nice.
That's it.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And the year after we left there, the Maximos started wrestling there with Red.
No
they
kidding.
They didn't, you know, they started learning the right way at Mikey Whipwreck's, just like we started learning the right way at the Doghouse with Homicide.
Yes.
But they started in that place as well.
Wow, there's a lot of history there in New York. A lot of history. You're thanking so many people. We would like to thank you for joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you for coming out here.
It's been
North Arlington
awesome.
Is not the most scenic place in the world.
I would like to not.
I live in South Avenue, New Jersey, please.
I do not want to thank you because that gaping asshole, honestly, no bullshit. It's all I can think of.
Do you have any plugs that you need to get out? Or I mean, we plugged the Epstein show. Louis plugged all his upcoming stuff.
Heel Turn Tees. Those guys are still part of our network. They're still our sponsors. We will be running another Heel Turn Tees contest on Twitter. All you have to do is retweet whatever we put out there that mentions at Heel Turn Tees, and they will send you a free T-shirt.
If you win.
If you win.
If you win.
If we random. Here's what I do. I'm going to break down the wall and show you my glorious life. I put these contests.
Did you say glory hole?
I can do that too.
Please don't.
I used to be the man behind the glory hole. That was one of my gimmick names back in the day.
The man behind the glory hole.
We run these Twitter contests, and every person that retweets something, I write your name on a piece of paper, and I put it in a hat.
And then the cat eats it.
No, Rhiannon yells at me because there's this fucking hat on my desk full of paper, and she thinks it's garbage. And then after 2 weeks, I pick a name out of the hat, and they send you a free T-shirt. It's not a bad deal for just retweeting something.
No, not at all. Anybody else?
No, I think that's it.
All right, and just the Shining Wizards Network. There's shows on there. I don't want to go through them because I want to say thank you again to Low Life Louis Ramos.
Yes, thank
Louis
you.
Low Life.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, and we have to have him back because we've only scratched the surface.
Oh, I know. We should scratch the surface.
We should have,
I would love to have all
of our guests back in one spot at one time.
We definitely like, we'd have
everybody in.
Awful idea. I think we just get Louis back.
You're right. Absolutely.
We would have to rent some place to do that.
Absolutely.
Because it would be a ruckus.
Oh my
Louis,
God.
Thanks again, my friend.
Thank you.
And good night, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this, and we hope you got something sexy out of it.
Yes, sir.
Later.